much about. So easy. You gotta put it into
perspective. But right now, all around us, and so compelling you never miss the fact there's no melody, is a music that is all beat, strong beat, and talk. It's rap music, and it sounds like this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in terrorists. You know, situations or UFOs, you go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Bravo! Bravo!
Hey, was that moving? Was that a great bit?
And now.
The most important thing is not to panic. There could be many reasons for intermittent brain fog.
I don't like the sound of intermittent brain fog.
Our feature presentation.
I wish it was intermittent. That's my problem.
What a strange time to play that, right, Ken?
Yeah.
Kevin, God damn it.
It's pretty weird.
What happened, monkey?
I don't know. Bean, you should know me by
what
now.
Happened?
I don't have any idea.
But you had your key card yesterday. You got into the building yesterday. What happened between yesterday and today?
Same things that happen every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I pull up to the gate, I don't have my key card.
Yeah.
So then I go, okay, well, there's only one other place that I would put it, and that's in the glove box. So I look there, and it's not there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll never find it again is the answer. So you think you really think it's just, it's gone?
Like it fell out of your pants or something?
I'm pretty sure it just disappeared, Bean.
Like evaporated?
Yes.
Wow.
I think that's what happened.
Allie, how long have you been working on the Kevin Bean?
Shut up, Bean.
Since mid-February.
Shut up, Allie.
How many key cards have you gone through?
Shut up,
not
Bean.
Not a one. Same one.
Chip, how long have you been working on the Kevin DeBean show?
5 years, same key card.
Same key card.
Wow.
We got these key cards when we moved into this building in 2000.
Yeah.
So it's been 15 years. I, of course, still have the same key card.
Well, you don't use it daily.
Right, but I have a lot of opportunities to lose it with months at a time in between using it, too, and I don't. I'm just saying.
Honestly, I could not guess how many times I've lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's north of 30.
Well, it's become a game.
Don't you think?
I understand they actually are using all different pictures now, so it's always fun to see what picture will appear on the key card.
No, that's not the case. Dave always gives them the picture of me Kevining.
Oh, that's what I meant.
And it's been that picture on my key card forever. And then I go, Dave, come on, man. Any other photo.
You think subconsciously you're doing it on purpose?
And then Dave says, yeah, okay, I'll take care of it. And then it's the same photo.
That's awesome.
Oh. Yeah, it's great.
And when you're
maybe
sitting,
subconsciously, I don't know, yeah.
When you're sitting out there in your car and it's getting to be 5:30.
What a loser.
And are you just shaking your head going, it's no way to live a life?
Just sitting in my car like I'm in the exit part of the driveway, so
right.
Whoever is coming in next can come in, and
right.
I can follow them in, and no one.
Nope.
And I'm just sitting in the car. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be late to school. This sucks.
Well, I went out to get you, and I said, did you feel alone, Kevin? And he goes, well, yeah, I was alone in my car.
Yeah, Allie was really rubbing
it
in.
And I said, no, I meant emotionally. Did you feel super alone? He goes, shut up, Allie. Like, it's now our fault.
No, but you don't have to rub it in.
Yeah, I do, though, a little bit.
All right.
Kevin, God damn it.
Well, we're glad you made it, Mike. And you appear to have dressed yourself okay, and you seem clean and well cared for. So.
I'm going to have some chocolate milk. I think I've deserved it.
You've earned it for today. Do I have time to tell you about the lawsuit that has energized America? This was all anybody was talking about yesterday. This is a lady. What is her name? I'm sure you saw this, Allie.
Oh.
She's in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Her name is Jennifer Connell.
Just call her Garbage Human.
And I think it doesn't make it clear, but she sued her nephew, Kevin, her 8-year-old nephew. And it doesn't make it clear, but I think it was her sister's son. And her sister has since passed away.
Okay.
But the lawsuit finally was resolved after 4 years since the incident happened, by the way. He was 8 years old at the time, and she showed up at their house for a birthday party, for his birthday party. He was so excited to see her that he ran to, he dropped his new bicycle on the ground, ran calling out, Auntie Jen, Auntie Jen. All of a sudden, he was there in the air, and I had to catch him, and we tumbled onto the ground, Connell testified. I remember him shouting, Auntie Jen, I love you, and there he was flying at me. although it was such an exuberant greeting, Kevin, that she broke her wrist in the fall to the ground. So she sued her nephew for injuring her, for breaking her wrist.
What can you accomplish by suing your nephew, who's 8?
That's one of many questions I would ask at the time, yes. Although she was hurt, she told the jury she did not complain at the time. It was his birthday party, and I didn't want to upset him. But she said her life was turned upside down as a result of the injury. And there were two quotes that came out in the trial that I think made it pretty easy for the jury.
Oh, okay.
One is, it's been very difficult. We all know how crowded it is in Manhattan. Was one.
Okay.
The other is, I was at a party recently, and it was difficult to hold my hors d'oeuvres plate.
These are real quotes, Kevin. This is a real garbage human suing her nephew.
I couldn't love her more.
Terrible human being.
Her attorney argued the injuries, losses, and harms to the plaintiff were caused by the negligence and carelessness of a minor defendant in that a reasonable 8-year-old under those circumstances would know or should have known that a forceful greeting, such as the one delivered by the offendant to the plaintiff, could have caused the harms and losses suffered by the plaintiff. That's what the lawsuit claims. So you'd be happy to know it was a 20-minute verdict, and the jury came back and said, "Nothing for you, ma'am." So they escorted her out.
That's insanity.
Right?
Like, what? Again, so what would have been a good outcome for her?
She was suing for $127,000, by the way. So my read on this, Allie, maybe you saw more about this than I did, is that, again, it was her her sister's son who's since passed away. So she's basically suing the widower for money because 4 years ago his kid jumped on her and she broke her wrist.
Yeah.
For inheritance.
Yeah. Another I loved was, it's just really hard. I live in a second floor walk-up. You know, all that wrist walking she's doing. Like, what?
And even her version of the story with the little kid being so excited to see her and I love you, Auntie Jen. And
he dropped his brand new bike to give her a hug.
Yes. Like, how do you sue? And by the way, who in the history of America has ever been sued for an energetic greeting? How
just
is this
kid,
thing?
Just this 8-year-old.
So the poor kid was in court. He appeared confused as he sat with his father in the courtroom, which is very.
Would you say it was 4 or 5 years ago?
4 years ago it happened. Yeah, he's 12 now, but still, it's got to be tough for him to wrap his head around how stupid adults are.
Wow. He's not going to have any issues with women. Mm,
no, not at all.
So anyway, the good news is the jury came back fast and did the right thing.
They did the right thing. They put her in jail.
Well, that's my only regret is I wish there were a way they could have done that, but it doesn't work like that.
Wow, so. Terrible human being. And him, am I right? He is a dick.
Not at all.
He was just a little kid hugging his Auntie Jen.
Oh, I thought.
No.
Oh, my bad.
You misunderstood the story.
And the terrorist situation.
Nope, no terrorist situation.
And she beat him off.
Nope, that didn't happen.
He's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No,
I think that's what did it.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Yeah, the wooden hand. That's what hurt her.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
That's where the damage came from. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The alcohol has rendered me a simpleton.
Jeff Garland will be in studio today.
Yeah.
Love him so much.
Me too.
Star of the Goldbergs. He is the best. One of our probably top 10 favorite guests.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Jake the Snake Roberts will be in studio. Shut up, Allie. There is a documentary on him called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, and it is heartbreaking and amazing at the same time. So we're going to talk to him about that. We are going to talk to Mama Muggs.
Now, the happiest girl in the whole USA.
But is she or isn't she?
Well,
because
if I
understand it correctly, there's one final game.
That's right.
In this series.
Uh-huh.
So she's happy that exists because they could have been eliminated last night?
I think she's got to be happy that they still are in the playoffs. Absolutely,
okay.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's what you would think.
Yeah. I think the words prolonging the inevitable will come out of her mouth. Yeah, for sure.
What about the words, I told you so? Not yet?
Not yet. Because and they hopefully haven't... never.
Right.
But not yet.
Yeah. Yesterday I was in the meeting. I was going, I don't want to talk to her so she can say, see, I told you. That'll suck. No one shared my enthusiasm. You were too high. We're going to talk about today. I don't know if you heard this call to 911, but this dude calls 911 and says, I'm just too high. And she says, on what? He goes, weed. Just too high. So we're going to talk about that today. We have Nick, one of our old friends, with a Kickstarter about a brand new movie that he has written. Is it a movie?
Yes, it is a movie.
Called The Right Track, Jade Predator.
Mm-hmm. In that order?
Yeah. I actually read that poorly but correctly in order.
Huh.
We're going to help him get this movie made.
The Right Track, Jade Predators is the name of the movie, and he's got a Kickstarter. We're going to give him a little, a little bump, a little support. And also on the program today, we have The Sweet Life with Muse. That's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Quick reminder, the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive is going to be next Tuesday morning. Our friend Ralph Garman will be back, and he's going to be broadcasting live like he do from Universal Studios Hollywood. Lots of great prizes for coming down. Please, please give blood. How many times have I said, Kevin? It's literally the easiest way you can save a person's life. And that's not an exaggeration. You literally save lives by giving blood. And we pay you back for your time and trouble, too, by giving you tickets to The Cure and Danny Elfman and Muse and Deftones and Rancid and so much more. Again, it's next Tuesday morning. Make your plans. Go online right now for all the details at K-Rock.com. Come and sign up to get your slot, and we'll see you down there. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
A lot happening in, I wouldn't even call this entertainment news. It's just sad and depressing. But today, Lamar Odom is basically fighting for his life right now. He fell into an unconscious state at Dennis Hoff's Love Ranch in Nevada. He apparently had been partying at the ranch for days alone. No friends, no entourage. He arrived on Saturday and was just having apparently a grand old time. Then on Tuesday afternoon, a woman went into Odom's room, into the VIP suites, found him unconscious. They called 911. Nye County Sheriff said that they tried to airlift him, but because he's 6'10", they couldn't even fit him in the chopper.
Oh, you're kidding.
Unbelievable.
What a weird problem to have.
Yeah. So he was rushed by ambulance to a Las Vegas hospital where apparently right now he's in a coma. His heart is failing. They're worried about all of his organs. So just, it's so sad and so devastating what this guy has gone through his entire life. It's just, it's
what
it's
do they? What do they
much.
Think he was drinking or ingesting while he was there? The only thing I heard Dennis Hoff cop to was the herbal Viagra.
Yeah, that's what the only thing that's being said right now is an herbal substitute for Viagra. But apparently when they rolled him over, they saw a mucousy liquid coming out of his nose and mouth. Oh. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's just sad.
I don't know anything about how these legal brothels work. Mm-hmm. But it would seem like not a kind of place that most people want to spend days at.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a reason that you go there, and once that reason is done, don't you look around and go, well, I got to get out of here.
You would think, but when you haven't been in your right mind for a while, I don't think you're making the best decisions anyway. Yeah. So there were reports that Kobe had left the game yesterday, the preseason game, with a leg injury. Then he left for personal reasons. There were reports that he went to the hospital, but nobody on the Lakers has confirmed that yet. But we will keep an eye on that story. Just sad, sad, sad all around. Happier news. I know it's already circled on Kevin's calendar, but now for the rest of you, December 8th. December 8th.
December 8th.
Victoria's Secret Fashion Show.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. You know they have some pretty big stars that come and play music.
Right. In quotes.
I say music. Taylor Swift.
Sure.
Justin Bieber.
Sure.
Well, this year, quite the lineup. The musical interludes will be performed by Rihanna.
Okay.
Selena Gomez.
Wow. All right.
And The Weeknd.
Wow.
Right?
All right.
All right,
Victoria's Secret. We get it.
Huge step up.
That is pretty awesome.
Wow. I mean, I will watch it if I have to. I mean, if that's what you're saying is now I have to watch it, I will. I'm willing to sit down and spend an hour with Victoria's Secret supermodels.
Because you're one of those Playboy, only read the articles kind of guy. Same thing for this, just for the entertainment.
I'm really just tuning in for The Weeknd. But
absolutely.
I'll sit through the girls in their underwear.
Ugh, gross. Right, Bean?
Right.
Ew. All right. Meanwhile, very good news for fans of The Walking Dead. And really, let's just say for producers, directors, and their network. The sixth season debut, Sunday night, had a 14.6 million viewers, 9.4 million in the coveted 18 to 49 age bracket.
Zombies.
Zombies, right. Exactly, Rodney. And that's not including DVR numbers.
Wow.
Holy.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's going to go way up. 14.6 million viewers so far. That is the highest rated show of the 2015 season so far. No one's knocking that off. Let's just
what happens if the zombies come? Are you prepared for that?
I'm not. Kevin?
Mostly prepared, yeah.
Mostly?
Uh-huh.
You're just going to get on a treadmill?
My yacht.
Oh, a yacht.
Yeah.
Is it yours or you?
It's mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think your key card's on there?
It's a big one.
Okay. Just making sure. When we come back, we are going to talk Donald Trump. We are going to talk Taylor Swift. Yeah. Yeah. Bad.
Both
bad
terrible
Taylor Swift.
People.
Bad.
How dare you?
Yeah. No, it's bad what she is doing right now. Bad. All of these stars were born on today.
I feel like I'm about to get hit in the nose with a newspaper.
Bad. I'm going to make you smell it. What? Like a... these stars were all born on today. The 12th of October.
Nope, sorry. You don't get it.
The 12th
nope,
of October.
Nope, just move on.
I'm sorry, I was just visualizing Bean.
Just move on.
Ooh, Lori Petty is 52. Comedian, actor, amazing, pretty hot. Steve Coogan is 50. Singer Natalie Maines is 41. Singer Usher, 37. SNL's Jay Farrow is 28. Singer Pia Toscano is 27. And actress Mia from Crimson Peak is 26.
Mia who? Which one is she?
She's Mia.
What's
her
last
name? Crimson Peak.
I don't remember her last name. What is that? What's her last?
Wasikowska.
Hell.
I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Hey, listen to this. Muse is playing Staples Center on December 19th, okay? Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon, although there is a K-Rock pre-sale today at 10 a.m. How about that? Through Access.com. So get all the details on that at K-Rock.com. But here's why this is so exciting, because we're giving away tickets to see Muse, but we are also qualifying you for a grand prize drawing that we're going to do Monday morning of something called The Sweet Life with Muse. Now, I'm finding it hard to believe, Kevin, that all of these things go to one winner. But
they
why
do.
Don't you lay it out for us?
All right, so you win your own suite at the show.
Nice.
You also get to introduce Muse.
On stage.
Yes. You get to stay at a suite in the Ritz-Carlton, which is pretty much across the street from Staples Center.
Nice. Wow.
You get a limo ride and $25,000. Like all that other stuff wasn't great enough. They throw in 25 grand.
So you can buy a bunch of friends to come with you?
Well, most people have friends, but
I mean,
you might go that way.
All right, so you're qualified for all of that with the Sweet Life with Muse grand prize during Monday morning, but the way to do it is to call us right now to win your Muse tickets at 1-800-520-1067. That's our number, 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn those tickets. We'll be playing a game coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So if you can call and hold on, we will get right to you. Good luck with the Muse. Last night was the second of the Democratic national debates, but the first one anybody watched because Hillary Clinton participated in this one.
Oh, they had one before?
I had no idea.
They did have one before, but Hillary didn't show. So it was minor. It was the minor candidates. Although Bernie Sanders was at that one, and he picked up a lot of steam as a result of being the biggest, smartest guy in the room. I didn't see all of it last night because I was flipping back and forth between that and the Dodgers game. Allie, you did watch the whole thing.
I did.
Your takeaway. Are you feeling the burn?
He made some great points. He was actually amazing. I didn't know a ton about him. Mm-hmm. However, I will say this, and I don't remember his name. I tweeted about him, but good Lord, he didn't fare well.
One of the candidates?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a couple of really like 0 percenters in terms of
Chafee?
Lincoln Chafee. Yeah.
Oh, he was asked about a bill that he passed that he literally had no idea what it was.
Sweet.
And his response was, I was new, and my dad, I'm not kidding,
wait,
Kevin.
And my dad?
And my dad just died. And Anderson Cooper goes, to be fair, sir, and was like, this is what you actually voted on, and said it back to him, and he goes, again, I was new, and my dad had just passed
away. Wow.
And I made a joke. I'm like, Lincoln slowly takes off his mic, goes to the Wheel of Fortune slots. No one notices. Like, yeah, it was terrifying.
I think some people are probably going to drop out as a result of this. And then there was the other guy. Is he a former governor of Rhode Island, I want to say? The one who forgot one of his kids' names? I thought that was pretty funny. I did see that. He was naming his family. Hey, and I got my beautiful wife so-and-so here, and my kid this and kid that. And then... Julia!
Can you imagine being the kid?
Yes.
You're my dad. How do you not know my name?
Wait, was that Martin O'Malley?
I can't remember which one it was. Again, they all, if it's not Hillary or Bernie, they're a blur to me. I'm sorry.
Well, I will say Martin O'Malley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he's one from Baltimore.
Yes.
I might have Google imaged him after someone alerted me to a picture.
Right.
Lot of shirtless pictures of him coming out of the ocean.
Oh.
Pictures of him jamming on stage playing guitar.
Love it.
He's got my vote.
All right. He's got your vote for that.
Dude is looking good.
All right. He's our Putin.
He's our Putin.
Did you see him wrestling a bear at any point?
Not yet.
Now, Allie, did you DVR this debate?
No, I was doing picture in picture.
No, but I'm saying, did you DVR it? Because whatever you did last night worked for the Dodgers.
Oh.
So maybe you need to watch it again. Is the game tonight? Maybe you need to watch
tomorrow
it
tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow. Picture in picture something.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You got to do your part.
The biggest name who wasn't on the stage last night because, he's not running for the Democratic nomination is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, I think, did a brilliant thing by essentially hijacking a portion of the coverage of the Democratic National Debate where he ordinarily would have been invisible by live tweeting the debate. There are so many times we ask, how presidential is Donald Trump? This is another instance of him not being presidential, but I think being a brilliant strategist. I mean, it was a good move, don't you guys think?
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
I didn't see his tweets.
But, I mean, just the fact that he did it, I think, is great campaigning.
Yeah,
you know?
You could follow along point for point.
Here's a couple of the Donald's tweets from last night. Should be interesting, but too bad the three guys at 1% will be taking up so much time. But who knows, maybe a star will be born. Unlikely. So that's him at the very beginning of the debate, basically saying, you know, somebody could break out, but I doubt it. The Hillary Love Fest on CNN is ridiculous. I feel bad for the other candidates, especially the non-criminal ones. I mean, obviously he's going, going for Hillary because he presumes he's going to be up against her in the general
election.
Yeah. He also retweets, and I don't know if this bugs you guys the way it bugs me, but he retweets so many people that love him.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like this one, following Donald is beautiful. If it's not beautiful, it's not Donald, to which Mr. Trump responded, so nice. he retweeted, we need Trump now, make America great again. Here's one, Putin is not feeling too nervous or scared, he tweeted, looking at the candidates on stage.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one, as a former television star, get rid of all these commercials, he tweeted. Apparently he was just bored having to sit through spots.
Is he sitting there by himself, or does he have like advisors?
What
do you guys think? Do you think he has like a PR person that they run stuff through before they tweet?
I don't think a lot would get through if you ran through a PR person.
There's no filter on Donald Trump. There's no filter on what he says that comes out of his mouth. There's no filter on what he says on Twitter. But again, so far working for him. He retweeted this one. Good luck commenting on this snooze fest. I'm out. He retweeted this one. Make America great again. Would not even watch the Democratic debate except Donald is tweeting about it. Boy, does Donald Trump love Donald Trump,
he
right?
He loves himself some him.
On our 25th anniversary, my husband and I are happily staying in to watch the Democratic debate and read the real Donald Trump's comments.
Oh, God bless them.
He's got a lot of people who joined Twitter just to see Mr. Trump's tweets. I couldn't even imagine the bloodbath that would ensue if Donald Trump debated any one of these five jabronis. He retweeted that.
Here's the Iron Sheik.
I know, it sounds like. Here's a couple more right from Donald. All candidates are very scripted and rehearsed. Two at least should not be on the stage. Sorry, there is no star on the stage tonight, he says. So he's very dismissive of all of them. But
By the way, whether or not he should say it is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true. I mean, it's really true that there weren't any stars like Donald when they got huge ratings. Mm-hmm. He really does bring eyeballs to the screen.
He does. That's why he's our next president, Kevin.
Oh, don't say that.
I wasn't following some of the other Twitter action, Allie. I know you had a lot going on, including Mike Huckabee's tweets. Now, tell me about that because I didn't see those.
So he's a gift. He just said
and he's still in as a candidate, right?
So he thinks so.
Yeah, okay.
Not so much, but he was, you know, schooling us all on racism and whatnot. Oh. I looked to him to tell me about race in America.
Well, that's helpful.
Yeah, he said racism exists because we have a sin problem in America, not a skin problem.
Oh,
this is the guy that, of course, you know, supported the Duggars, and he knows about sin.
Yeah,
okay, for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. But then here's the thing. He followed that up with what could be the most racist tweet so far.
For my money, the tweet of the night.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to say, and I can't believe a presidential candidate would say it.
Here it is. I trust Bernie Sanders with my tax dollars like I trust a North Korean chef with my Labrador.
Whoa!
What? What?
Really?
What? Let me repeat that.
Yep.
I trust Bernie Sanders with my tax dollars like I trust a North Korean chef with my Labrador.
Wow.
Whoa. Whoa.
You're saying whoa?
I can't say whoa enough.
That's a guy running for president. All
running
right.
for
and
president.
Then Esquire magazine tweeted at Mike Huckabee, please eject your CD-ROM and discard what is left of your 700 hours of free AOL. And another guy, Jake, tweeted at Governor Mike Huckabee, how are you losing a debate you're not even in?
Well, it's good times. Look, I know the election is over a year
it's
away.
It's over a year away.
I know it is.
Oh.
But once in a while, it's kind of fun, right, Kevin? I mean,
no.
Okay.
I mean, the tweets about it were fun.
Right.
I can't imagine watching that.
This is why you need to run. You need to be the guy who put your hat in the ring, Kevin.
Seriously.
My head hurts.
It's okay, Rodney. Listen, we want to give away some Muse tickets that we described a few minutes ago. Muse at Staples Center on December 19th, and you're qualified for the Suite Life with Muse, which is going to be an unbelievable grand prize drawing that we'll do Monday morning that includes Suite at the Show, Suite at the Ritz-Carlton. You get a limo ride. You get to introduce the band and a cool $25,000. That's what you were playing to be qualified for. What's this game this time around, Kevin?
Just a second.
That's it. That's,
all right. That's the game. We're going to play you a second of a Muse song. You have to identify it.
Oof. Okay. That sounds tough, but if you're a Muse fan, you love these songs, you've heard them a bunch, I think you got a good chance at it.
I feel like this game, more than any other game, is the, I totally know that song so well.
Yep.
And I can't think of it.
Yep. Heard that. Sure sounds familiar. Wish I knew what the title was.
Isaac in Cudahy?
Cudahy, yeah.
Cudahy. Hi.
All right. Isaac, you're like the second caller we've gotten this week from Cudahy. Are we huge out there? Is that what you're telling me?
It's like a city of like 10 people.
So we got two.
Tiny.
All right. All right. We're working our way through the population.
Maybe it was Isaac twice. I don't know.
It could have been. All right. Well, so just a second is the game. Again, we're going to play 1 second of a Muse song. All you have to do is give us the title. You are in the drawing to win Muse tickets. Good luck, sir.
All right. We're going to play it for you twice. Here you go. One more time.
Starlight
is correct. Nicely done.
Woo. Look at Isaac, man. Right. You are in the drawing, sir. Well done.
All right. Let's go to Catherine in Banning. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Welcome to Just a Second.
Thank you.
You ready for your song?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here we go. Just a second. One more time.
Hysteria.
Sorry. That's Supermassive Black Hole.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
Which I also rented over the weekend.
Nope.
Okay.
Very
all
different.
Right. I'm going to say no.
You didn't even rent it. Kathy and Pico Rivera, hi.
Hey, what's up?
Kathy, we're playing Just a Second. We'll give you one.
Just a second!
1 second of a Muse song twice. You tell us the title to win the tickets, or at least go into the drawing for that. Good luck.
Here you go. One more time.
Knights of Sidonia
is correct. Nicely done.
She knew it. Well done, Kathy.
Hold on. Let's go to our next contestant, who is Megan in Tustin. Hi, Megan.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Just a Second.
How you been doing on hold? You been identifying the songs pretty well?
Yes. Yeah, I've been doing pretty well.
All right. Here you go. Good luck. It's the first second.
Okay.
What do you want from us?
Is it madness?
That is madness, yeah.
Yeah, that actually has the title in the first second.
Luck of the draw for Megan, but at least she got it. That's good.
That was fortunate. All right, Rhonda in Irvine. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome to Just a Second.
Just a Second!
You ready?
Can I get madness, please?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you cannot. Here's your song. One more time.
Is it Uprising?
No, it's Undisclosed Desires. Sorry. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to Benny in Azusa. Hi, Benny.
What up?
What up? Welcome to
Just a Second.
You ready for your song?
Nope, but let's do it.
All right. One more time.
I lost track of what he said after F. Resistance is the name of that one.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got time for maybe one more.
All right. Let's go to Inetta. Inetta?
Hi. Good morning, guys.
I'm Sherman Oaks. How do you say your name?
Inetta.
Inetta. Okay. Here is your 1 second. Good luck. One more time.
Hysteria.
Sorry, that's Map of the Problematique.
I got to say, Hysteria was far and away the big guess, though. You want to try one more just so we don't go out on a loser?
Sure. Let's go.
Not that Annette is a loser. No. I'm just saying she didn't come up with a name.
Let's go to Tiffany in Paris. Hi there.
Hello. Hey.
Hello. Hey.
Tiffany, seriously, we want to go out. We want to go out feeling strong here. We want to qualify one more person for the ticket.
So
we want you to win. Okay. Good luck.
Okay. Is it
dead
inside?
It is. How did you know that?
Another fortunate one.
Wow. All right. Tiffany is in the drawing, as is Megan, as is Kathy, as is Isaac. Someone wins tickets to see Muse December 19th at Staples Center and is also qualified for the Sweet Life with Muse grand prize drawing we do Monday morning. Only one will win. Miss Allie McKay, who's it going to be?
The winner is Kathy. Yay!
Kathy. Congratulations, Kathy. You win, and thanks for playing the game.
Just a second.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Comedian Jeff Garlin on the program later on today. Also, WWE legend and Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts coming up on K-Rock. Hallie's in for Ralph this week, and it's time for that feature. What's going on?
Really sold that. Really, right? Really nailed it. The excitement. Here's the thing, you guys.
What's the thing?
I know, Kevin, you love the people at AEG. I love the people at AEG.
Right.
Love the Staples Center. Mm-hmm. Love the whole area, LA Live.
Right.
But we need to burn that place down. Am I right?
Burn down Staples
burn
Center?
Burn down Staples Center.
That's why.
Burn down
but why?
Staples Center.
But why?
We have to talk about it. It's the Taylor Swift curse. It has now moved from baseball stadiums into the Staples Center, and there's only one way to solve it.
Interesting.
Burn the place down.
Burn that mother down?
Yeah. If you guys aren't aware of the Taylor Swift curse, it seems that every baseball stadium on her 1989 tour where the team played in that stadium, after she performed there, the team went to hell. Happened with the Nationals, the Padres, the Blue Jays, most notably the Astros. They were in first place in the AL West. Then they lost, I think, the next 7 of 8.
Wow.
I mean, just bad. She performed at the Staples Center.
Yeah.
The Kings are 3-0, Kevin. I know I don't have to tell you. 0-3. That's how angry I am. I'm switching numbers.
Yeah, they're 0-3.
0-3.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Losing to the Sharks, the Coyotes, the Canucks.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Their next game is Friday.
Right.
If they don't win against the Wild.
I don't know that we're saying actually burn it down.
No, I'm not saying
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
Please don't.
Can I ask this?
That, but
look, I don't believe in the curse.
I do.
Of course, I think Taylor Swift makes everything magical and better.
But it doesn't seem the facts do not support you, sir.
But I will say there is a hashtag on social media right now, tear the banner down, because you recall at Staples Center, they did put up a banner for Taylor Swift because she sold it out more than any other performer. So tear the banner down is the chant that's going on now. Maybe burning the place to the ground, Allie, maybe going too far.
I'm going to retract that.
Maybe taking the banner down, maybe that's the way to go.
Let's start with the banner. Mm-hmm. Then let's move on to Sage.
Okay.
Let's just...
Lights and candles?
Yes, it's very important that we get on
an exorcism?
This immediately.
Kill a goat, if that's what it takes?
Listen, I don't support killing animals.
Okay.
Except if I want a tasty, tasty burger. But sage the place, yeah. Take the banner down.
Well, that was clearly a mistake.
Come on, AEG. I'll await your call.
I'm not happy about it, I'll tell you that.
Await your call.
Are they going to call?
Yeah, yeah, call us right now. 1-800. Just kidding. I know a lot of people have been asking, how can I get more Donald Trump on my TV?
A lot of people want that.
I don't see him enough. I don't hear about him enough. Well, the good people at NBC have heard your pleas. Donald Trump will be hosting Saturday Night Live in November, on November the 7th.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
For now, the love of all things holy.
I'm asking this, Allie, because I honestly don't know the rules, but are they going to be required to give the other candidates some free time on the network if they're essentially helping Donald Trump publicize his campaign?
I know that that's part of the rules, but does that go into effect this early on? Or
I don't know.
Later in the year?
We rarely deal with that issue at all, but they do say if you're going
to
interview
one. Yeah.
You have to give time to all of the other candidates, equal time. So I don't know when that kicks in. We're still over a year away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was not aware of this. Were you guys, this will be his second time hosting SNL.
Oh, I remember when he hosted it last time. It was during the Celebrity Apprentice Fever.
Yeah, the first season of Celebrity of The Apprentice back then in April of 2004.
Wow. Right.
I mean, I was like 14,
right.
So I don't remember
that. Yeah,
but
you've heard about it, though. People tell you.
Yeah, people were like, "Hey, that."
Your
guy
parents
that
had
hair.
A little black and white TV that they watched, right?
Exactly. This is essentially only news for Bean because you know he doesn't leave the house to go see movies, to go see concerts. He wouldn't see David Bowie if it was right down the street, but he'll fly to England to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
no sense is made.
Yeah,
I have a feeling he might go to this.
Okay.
Right. Miley Cyrus, touring with the Dead Pets, which essentially is the guys from Flaming Lips, right?
Man, is that a disaster.
Yeah. Here's
not
here's,
a disaster.
That's
right.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Yeah. Did you watch her perform on Saturday Night Live?
Did you see her cry about her dog?
A couple of weeks ago?
No.
It was a beautiful song,
you know,
and a beautiful performance.
She's not interesting to me at all.
Well, does this pique your interest? One show on the band's tour that begins in Chicago and wraps up in Boston will include the band and the audience completely nude.
Yay!
What?
So, you're saying...
Yeah. What I just said, it will include one show where the band and the audience are nude. How do you regulate that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Hmm.
But you know that it has to be a small place. It can't be a bigger venue, right?
You would think.
I mean, like 10 people? I don't know.
A private show?
Maybe they let
in
one guest? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Also, I'd rather somebody that looks like a woman be nude. She looks a little like Justin Bieber. That's what I'm saying.
Nothing more than a body.
Rodney, I think you're right. What do you think about this, Bean?
I'm not crazy about seeing the Flaming Lips naked.
Oh, the band.
Okay. I'm not crazy about that. I'm fine with Miley. I mean, I haven't seen her naked since the last time I went to her Instagram page. It's tough to find photos of Miley with clothes on.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Good point.
I mean, I guess, look.
Look.
Miley's whole thing is, ooh, I take my clothes off and I smoke a lot of weed. I mean, that's her message. She is on point with this announcement.
I think we don't need to know about Miley's whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Understood.
Several different levels.
Yes.
Let's talk about some birthdays. All of these people were born on today, the 12th of Rocktober. Singer Pia Toscano is 27th. Was she out of town for the Kings? Has she not been singing the national anthem?
She sang the national anthem for the first regular season home
game. Well, no one wants to win the first.
Okay. Well,
what about the second or third?
I don't know about
the
second or third.
Because I will blame this on Pia.
I don't know the second or third. I don't believe it's her, but she was our good luck all the way through 2012, the whole thing. So I don't think so. Let's not be so quick.
AEG, I'll await your call on that.
And by the way, it's the 14th. You said it's the 14th.
It says the 12th.
Yeah, well, that's not right.
Dave, you are Lori Petty is 52. Comedian Steve Coogan is 50. I said October 12th.
You did.
In the 5 a.m. hour.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for sure.
We weren't listening.
Thank you.
It's the 14th, right, Bean?
Yes.
Somebody look that up.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's correct.
It is
the 14th.
Checking?
No. Okay. No. Natalie Maines, 41. Singer Usher is 37. SNL's Jay Farrow is 28. 28. Actress Mia from Crimson Peak is 26. Wasikowska is how you would say her last name. Wasikowska.
Okay. All right. That's how I would say it. How is it said?
I'm in for Ralph Garman, walking the show.
So many good things to come in the days ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Not only Jake the Snake Roberts on the program today from the WWE, not only Jeff Carl on the show today, but listen to this coming up in the next few days, guys. Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
All right.
Michael Chiklis is going to be with us from Gotham on
Can't
Friday.
How good is Gotham this year?
So good.
Okay, Chris Hardwick from Talking Dead is going to be stopping by. We'll catch up with our old friend Jimmy Kimmel. We've got the band Churches going to be performing live in studio with us. Travis Barker coming by. You know, his new autobiography getting ready to come out. We've been looking forward to that for a long time. And Joel McHale also in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show next week as well. So some very, very cool guests, a lot of fun people in the days ahead here on K-Rock.
Here's the thing about weed. You can't OD on weed, right?
Yes, that is correct, Kevin. We have, and Dr. Drew will correct us if we're wrong, but I believe no one has ever overdosed from smoking too much pot. Yes.
You heard the 911 call. The guy called 911 and told the operator that he was too high.
Yes.
I happen to have it.
He is a 22-year-old man from Austintown, Ohio, and he was just at home, right?
Yep.
Just smoking out at home, mm-hmm. And just thought he was too high to what? To sit on the couch and watch SpongeBob? What was he too high to do?
I think there are certain people who get that paranoia of, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though you're not, but maybe you don't know at that point. I don't know. This is the 911 call.
And what's the problem?
I'm too high.
It's so whiny. Come on, man.
Well, like you said, I mean, maybe he's getting the paranoia feeling, though.
Step
he's just
up.
Like, oh, I'm scared.
And what's the problem?
I'm too high.
You're too high?
Yeah.
What'd you take?
I can't feel anything.
Your what?
I can't feel anything.
Okay, what did you take?
Weed.
By the way, listen to how chipper the 911 operator is. That's okay. What'd you take?
Yeah.
It's okay, honey. What's going on?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone there with you?
Okay, now here's my favorite part. There are people in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't know.
But they don't know.
Oh.
So he's smoking out like somebody could smoke out in a house.
Right.
And the rest of the house doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Like, that's even possible.
Okay, how old are you?
22.
Are they going to be able to answer the door for us?
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, we'll send an ambulance right over to check you out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Police responded to the call. By the way, we want to take your calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you were ever too high to do anything, you're so high you can't fill in the blank. 1-800-520-1067.
The more important, the better.
Oh, yeah.
If
you missed a wedding or a test or a deployment, if you missed because of being high, we want to hear your story right now. 520-1067. This man, 22 years old, by the way, not named, Austintown, Ohio. Police responded to the call at around 5:20 p.m. They said they found the man groaning on the floor in the fetal position. Mm-hmm. And this is about my favorite part of the whole
story.
Same.
Yeah. Same.
Quote, surrounded by a plethora of Doritos, Pepperidge Farm Goldfish, and Chips Away cookies.
So he prepared. I mean,
yes.
he knew what the result could be.
He was surrounded on the floor by Doritos.
I get that.
He's the best.
Police say the man indicated that he couldn't feel his hands. They recovered a glass pipe with marijuana residue from the home, along with two packs of rolling papers, two roaches, and a jar of marijuana. He declined medical treatment and, as of Monday, had not been charged with a crime. So... I don't know what the – in Ohio, it seems like – I don't think weed's legal in Ohio, so I don't know why they didn't charge him with a crime. But it sounds like he got away with it. He just had a bad trip, I guess.
I'm too high.
Too high.
Too high.
We are going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. The King of Mexico has joined us. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Dave's been too high.
I have. Yeah, look, I don't dabble in marijuana very often. But well, I went to Smoke Out once, and, you know, they have a variety of different edibles
right.
available. And I happened to eat some, like a pecan pie. And
now, had you ever eaten before edibles?
Yes.
Okay,
and
so
I thought,
you know that it
I
hits
thought,
you in
yeah,
a very
yeah.
different way.
Okay. Yeah, and
not
I thought
that I would
I thought,
know. I've been told that.
And I thought I was fine, and so I had a pie and some nuts and all these weird random products.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 hours later, it felt like gravity just stopped existing, and I was smushed to the floor. And I got so paranoid that I decided to leave, but I couldn't walk. I had to.
You literally physically couldn't?
I physically couldn't walk. I had to grab my knees and move them with my hands. And, like, so it's.
I would give anything for a video of that.
It looked like if my. I had no legs and I was just, like, dragging them across. I looked like a zombie from The Walking Dead. And luckily, my friend was there to carry me back to. Pretty much carry me back to the car as we left. Early.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that is so interesting to me, Dave, because there's nothing in marijuana that would have physically made it impossible for you to move. Just mentally, you forgot how to move your limbs?
I don't know what was happening. I could barely see. You know, it felt like I was just getting pulled to the ground.
Yeah, I think if you like the kid that called 911 said he couldn't feel anything.
Yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
Maybe Dave couldn't feel his legs.
You know, in many conversations with Doug Benson, it's a totally different feeling than smoking.
Yeah.
So,
edibles
know.
Is, yeah, it can hit you way late and way hard.
Too hard.
I've been told.
So this is like when your leg falls asleep or your foot falls asleep, something
right.
like that, you just can't control it. But that was
exactly.
what it was like. Your whole lower half was like that.
Yeah, right. And I just was like a crab just crawling along the floor.
I love the visual of you pushing your knees with your hands to try
imagine,
to get them to move.
Yeah, I could imagine everyone going, what the hell's wrong with that guy? Like,
and you were at a show. This kid was in his house at least.
Yeah,
you were at a show.
I was in public.
Dave, go help.
You do good work.
Go help Beer Mug get the calls. All the lines are ringing. We're trying to get some people up on the air here. 1-800-520-1067. Allie, have you ever had an experience like this before where you were too high to fill in the blank?
Nope.
No.
By the way, you guys think Beer Mug is actually answering the phones and asking them their stories, or is he just trying to score?
He's like, where do you get it?
That sounds like great weed. Who's your hookup?
Let's try Matt real quick in Anaheim on line 6.
Matt, hi.
Hi, guys. What's up?
You were too high. That's what's up.
So I was in college at the time, and, you know, I had a test. I had an afternoon class. I had to take a test for it. And earlier in the day, I ate an edible, and I was waiting and waiting, and I thought it was a dud, so okay. So like an hour later, I hit a couple bowls.
Right.
Okay, that was fine. And so then I go, and I take my test, and about 10 questions in, and it just hit me like a freight train.
Yeah.
And I just totally forgot everything. I mean, it was just like hieroglyphs.
So what did you write answers on your test?
I mean, it was a multiple choice test.
Right.
And so I was, like, trying to figure it out, but I couldn't get it. Everything was, like, the same. I mean, it was like, oh, it could be this one or it could be this one. It, process assimilation didn't even work. I just, oh, my God, it was terrible.
And such a rookie move, too, when you take the edible, time goes by, and you're like, didn't happen.
Yep.
Gonna eat another cookie.
That's edibles 101.
No.
Well, how long do you wait, Allie? I mean, Matt was saying, he thought it was a dud. So at what point do you go, okay, that one didn't work, I got to try another one? 2 hours? 5 hours?
No, I would say 2 hours, I've been told.
Yeah, I've been told to wait a while.
Uh-huh. Because that is a rookie mistake. It will hit you, and it will hit you
and
hard.
And it will hit
and you
know so hard.
The ironic part was, I'm not a rookie. Like, you know, I was a pretty regular smoker, so I kind of knew, like, at least for my body, you know, how when it usually would kick in and everything. But for some reason, it just had like a delay.
Yeah.
I just did not see it coming. It was a disaster.
Sweet. Matt, apologies for disparaging your
exactly.
weed status.
All right, Matt. Good call, son. Thanks so much for the call. Martin writes in on the Kevin Meme Twitter account, 2014 Coachella, I had an edible lollipop, and I ended up missing all the music after 3 p.m. What a waste.
What?
Too high to see Coachella. That's high.
From a lollipop?
I know, right?
Like brownie, fine.
Come on.
We'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. You can also text us anytime at the number 2KROQ. That's 25767. We'll talk to you right after this on K-Rock.
And what's the problem?
It's too high.
That just says it all, doesn't it?
What a sad little dude.
Yeah.
Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you've ever been too high, particularly if you missed something because you were so high. A lot of people, by the way, I'm hearing from that have had the Dave experience where they just couldn't walk, couldn't move. Let's try Ken LaHabra, please, up first on line 7. I think this is a good one. Potentially dangerous, but sounds like fun. Hey, Ken.
How you doing?
Thank you. You were too high.
One night I went to a friend's house. We were all gathering at the house, and then we were all going to go to a party. Well, before I went there, I dropped a hit of LSD.
So whoa.
By the time I got there, the guy wasn't ready, so we're like, well, hurry up, you know, let's go. It was about 45 minutes, but by that time, it kicked in. So I went into his room to try to sit down and, like, relax. He had a strobe light going, and I just started staring at it. 6 hours later... They were gone, and I was still there.
You stared at the strobe light.
I walked outside, and I was like, "Where? Everybody's gone. The house is black." So I was stuck there now until they got back.
That was a magical light show, though, wasn't it, Ken?
It was.
Right?
It was. I went to many places, but the thing that I didn't like the most is I woke up dehydrated. I mean, when I snapped out of it, I was...
Yeah, that's...
Thirsty as hell.
Yeah. I hope your friends at least had the courtesy to put on a Pink Floyd album for you before they left the house.
No, they didn't do anything.
I like that they all just went, you know what? Ken is just too far gone. Let's go.
Yeah, they actually thought I left. They thought I just got so frustrated and walked away and left me there.
Yeah, that's so awesome. All right, Ken, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. From the 626, this was texted to us. Kevin and Bean, I got so high off a pop brownie that when I tried to eat a burrito later, I couldn't get it into my mouth, and then I ended up pushing the burrito into my ear. So he or she was too high to eat, basically, or to know how. All right, let's go to Sally in Whittier, line 2, please.
You know how occasionally we'll have phone topics where we go, I don't know if anyone's going to call with that.
Yeah.
This one we could go on all day.
Yeah.
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
You were too high.
Actually, it was my boyfriend, and we were in a hot tub, and he says, hey, by the way, I got this stuff that a friend of mine gave me, and he was trying to get rid of it because he had so much, and his girlfriend was going to find out, so I said, all right, so we start doing it. All of a sudden, he's like, we got to get out. We got to get out of here. Something's wrong. We got to move. So they're like, okay, so we get out. He's like, let's just leave him right here. Just let the feeling go away, and it wasn't happening, so... He's a fireman, so I figured he knew what he was talking about.
Right.
And he didn't. He lost all bodily functions.
Oh, no.
Couldn't walk.
Yeah.
I had to actually, he says, walk. He was holding onto the back of my belt, and we're trying to walk up a hill to his car. He lost his wallet. Everything bad happened. And then I found out what he had for dinner.
I wish you hadn't told us that.
All right.
Far.
Excellent. We're going to assume the rest. And thank you for calling.
Hey, by the way, Ellie, I love you.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you for the call, Sally.
Do we have an inspirational theme song maybe for Sally and the other?
I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was going to get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da.
All right, where do we go?
We take a break because we got your favorite segment of the whole day coming up next, Kevin.
Oh, all right. I do have to recall a tweet, though. A guy tweeted, I was waiting at a stop sign for it to turn green.
waiting at a stop sign for it to turn green. So good work, everybody.
What song was that? Well, we were just listening to it. I heard the end of it.
That was
the guy and his satellite.
Cecilia and the satellite, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
The guy in a satellite. That can't be right.
Hey, let me tell you why I'm super excited about Jeff Garlin, who we love anyway, from the Goldbergs.
You're taking time away from Nick.
No. I just want to say, here's why I'm so excited that we have Mr. Garlin today in about 20 minutes, is you won't meet a bigger Cubs fan in the world than Jeff Garlin.
Right?
Cubs won yesterday, defeated the St. Louis Cardinals, moving on.
Yeah, they're winning it all.
One step closer to the World Series. This could be the year. Jeff Garlin's been waiting his entire life for this moment.
Yeah. You're taking time away from Nick.
That's coming up here on K-Rock. Nick Astronakis, longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, is back on the air with us. He has a Kickstarter project. Nick, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great today.
Yay!
You sound it.
I'm extra great today because I've launched my Kickstarter.
Right. We are very excited. Now, let me just say a few words here, Nick. Nick is a friend of ours who is a very accomplished and talented screenwriter and potential filmmaker, and he has been telling us for a long time that he's been working on a script, a number of scripts, but this one has really stuck with him. And he said, "Guys, I'm going to make a movie. And I'm going to put up a Kickstarter that's going to get me some funds so I can get this film made." And we said, when it's time to launch your Kickstarter, you come to Kevin and Bean, and we'll be happy to give you the press you need. So today's the day, right, Nick?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I made $50 yesterday. I'm off and running.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's bring folks up to speed. First of all, tell us about the project. Like, what movie are you making, Nick?
It is called The Right Track, Jade Predators, and I'm doing this for one of my closest friends who wanted to play. She's modeled. She wanted to act, and she's like my former coworker from Signholding. And she wanted to play like a femme fatale. She wanted to like do a full-on body makeup kind of role.
Nick called us originally because he was a sign holder. He's one of those guys out on the corner that
flips the signs.
Flips the signs.
That's how we fell in love with Nick, right? Now, has she acted before, or she just wants to get into acting like you want to get into making movies?
I don't know if she wants to do it for career, but she wants to do some acting. And she's incredible. She is just like one of the most dynamic people I know. She's one of my closest friends.
Nick, what's the title of your movie again?
It's called The Right Track, Jade Predators. It's very provocative.
But what? What does it mean?
Well, the meanings of the story. I can't just like give it all away. You know, it's like some titles. You know, like, you know, what does the title mean? It's, you gotta like see the story to get it. You know, the title.
Right.
But I think it maybe should catch you to where you're not questioning if the words are actually in the correct order.
Well, okay. Well,
like, look, The Martian had a pretty simple title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Well, it's kind of, the title's kind of locked in now.
Okay.
It's about women that can, two women that can like turn into like jade statues, like, ooh, and like have, they have like fangs and claws, and it's weird.
Wait,
kind of weird.
Wait, they have the claws as a statue?
Yes.
Okay.
They have fangs and claws.
And claws. Okay.
And they're on the right track to become a predator.
There's more. I would say the whole right track part is more about like their emotional state.
Ah.
All right. Okay. Nick, to piggyback on Allie's question, and this is a serious point, why not just call it The Jade Predators?
Because
it's a lot simpler.
It's a lot simpler, and it's
a
concept.
It is a lot simpler, but I just thought it would be cooler. It's actually cooler.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I read it, I go, The Right Track, Jade Predators, and then I go, am I high? Because that doesn't, those words don't make, they don't even have anything to do with each other.
I like the title.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So
all right. Okay. So you're just making a note here. Inflexible on that. Nick, how much money do you think it's going to take to make this movie? Because it sounds like you're describing something that has quite a few special effects in it.
I don't mean like CGI or anything like that. I set my price at like $8,000.
$8,000.
Yeah.
And she's going to be able to turn into
Really great body makeup and stuff.
So she's going to be able to turn into a jade statue and then back into a human being?
Yes.
Wow. So you're doing that all with makeup then, no CGI. That's impressive.
Yeah. Look, all this came from, like, my close friend Heather, who, like, you know, she
Who you're trying to bone, apparently.
No. This is my friend. Just my friend.
It sounds to me like you're trying to bone her, so you said, I'll write you a movie and let you star in it, Nick.
Well, we're just my friend, and I'm being professional, and I'm thinking of my career here as well, you know.
Right. So you wouldn't bone her?
She's my friend, and that's what I'm sticking at.
Right.
Right, but Bean's saying if she said, hey, by the way, on the side,
right, let's do it. A lot of actresses sleep with their directors, Nick.
Just my friend. That's the company line here.
Okay, sure.
All right, now I didn't have time to read your story because it's 100,000 words long, but Bean made his
way. I have a lot of words. I always have a lot of words.
You do have a lot of words, yes.
Yes, you do.
Uh-huh. You certainly do. It's a very complicated story, but I mean, look, lots of stories before you see the movie sound crazy. So it's not to say it's not going to work out. I'm just concerned that you are biting off more than you can chew trying to film something this complicated on such a small budget with as little experience as you have. Like, I feel like a lot of directors, you know, Steven Spielberg started off just making little 8mm movies with models, you know what I mean? Something that's manageable, something that a new director can do. You don't think this is too much for you to, you're going to be in over your head?
No. I'm actually trying to get hired by someone good in doing this. And that's everything else I have in mind is
for your resume, you mean? This is how you're going to get a real...
A lot of things, because I want it, you know, I actually want to see it, but it's also for the resume as well. There's lots of reasons. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Nick, we're almost out of time, but I want to make sure people get the information. How can they find you on Kickstarter?
Okay, well, they should look up The Right Track, Jade Predators, you know, on Kickstarter.
No one's going to remember that. Zero people.
The Right Track, Jade Predators is the movie on Kickstarter. You're looking for $8,000. How much do you have so far?
$50 yesterday. $55.
Oh, that's great.
Right.
Who gave you the $50? You know, that's quite a healthy contribution.
I don't know. Someone who's going to, hear back from me, and I'm going to tell them how grateful I am for their $50.
Does that person get to be in the movie?
No, but I will give them my love and appreciation.
Okay.
I think that's enough.
That's a lot.
How much would we have to donate to be in the movie, Nick? Because you're going to need a bunch of extras, I'm sure, for your film.
Well, there's one scene that requires it's mostly just like two actresses, and there's a flashback scene where that does require extras.
The desert fire extras?
Well, basically, I want the extras to kind of like be anonymous. You know?
He said does require
extras. Oh, does. Okay.
Does require.
All right, yeah.
The script is written, Nick?
Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, all right. And when do you hope to...
I want to put the stuff without a script, you know?
Hold, please, Bean. Hold. How many pages? Hold, please, Bean. Nick, how many pages is the script?
It's only 40, actually.
Wow. So is this more of a short than a feature length?
Yeah, it's short-ish. And I love these characters so much. I could definitely see myself writing like a sequel some time down the line. I'm just focusing on what I got now.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
So people go to Kickstarter. They look up the name of your movie, which is The Right Track, Jade Predators. They make a donation. What's the best bonus that you're offering for somebody who donates enough money? Like, what's the coolest thing I can get from making a donation?
Well, there's lots of... Well, basically, for $200, you can come to the after party, and there will be one. And there's basically going to be a photo shoot as well. Mm. And it's for $80. If you can donate at $80, you get the photo shoot.
You get a photo shoot of yourself?
No, of the two actresses that are going to be in this.
I see.
Oh, okay. All right. And you haven't cast the other model yet?
I had someone in mind, but we had a falling out. And I kind of want to make her jealous.
I'm sorry, you want to make her jealous?
Yes, because, well, I had a friend from acting class, and he was really mean to me when my laptop got stolen, and we had a pretty bad falling out.
Okay.
So, but now I kind of want to, like, make her feel like, this girl was, like, a really good actress, but she became, like, a jerk to me.
Yeah, that's...
And so now I want to make her feel like, oh, I missed out.
It's a tale as old as time, Nick.
When you become the new Quentin Tarantino, you're going to have the last laugh.
Yeah,
but I feel like that's not a satisfying way to go, Nick. Because you're not going to actually ever feel better about yourself that way.
I'm feeling better about myself right now.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right, Nick. Well, this is very exciting. I'm glad we were able to have you on and to talk about the project. And do you have
very cool?
Do you have your laptop up right now? Are you seeing his cash just rolling in right now as a result of this interview?
Yeah, I'm going to get online and like see all the bucks that are coming my way.
Okay. Well, I hope that's what happens.
Yeah.
All right.
I will.
All right.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, cool.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning. Allie's in for Ralph another time with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, if you haven't been paying attention to this story, it is horrible and awful and tragic and sad. But bottom line, Lamar Odom is essentially fighting for his life right now in a hospital in Nevada. Apparently, he was at Dennis Hoff's Love Ranch there in Nevada. He arrived on Saturday and had been partying with the ladies there for a few days when yesterday afternoon, a woman went into his VIP suite, found him unconscious. They called 911. They were going to airlift him. But according to the Nye County Sheriff, he was too tall. He's 6'10". He couldn't actually fit in the chopper. So instead, he was rushed by ambulance to a Las Vegas hospital where he is currently in a coma, and they're saying his heart is failing, possibly other organs.
Wow. Dude. Has he had...
That's a bummer.
I know he's had some tough breaks in his life, Lamar yeah. has. Has he had health problems in his past as well? Isn't he only like 35 years old?
He's young, yeah. His life... His dad was a heroin addict. His mom died of colon cancer. I think it was his niece or nephew passed away when he was home visiting. His best friend just died this past year. He's just, it seems like everything he's up against.
And on top of that, he's not a basketball player anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's finally out of the league. Yeah.
It's so tragic. My heart goes out to him and everyone that cares about him because that's, if you've never dealt with addiction or somebody that has been an addict, it's traumatizing. It really is. It's a lot. Also not great, Hayden Panettiere has checked herself into a treatment center for postpartum depression. She gave birth to her daughter Kaya back in December of 2014, and she had said that when you're told about postpartum depression, I feel negative feelings toward my child. I want to injure or hurt my child. I've never, ever had those feelings. But she just wants women out there to know they're not alone and that it does heal. And the kind of bizarre thing about this, that's her storyline on Nashville right now.
What?
She just had a baby and she's going through postpartum depression, lashing out. It's very bizarre how it's all kind of following in the show's footsteps.
Hey, you got anything fun?
Hey, you know what? That's a great point. The next one was about Twitter and firing their workforce. But this, let's talk about this. And you know what? You won't find this great. However, people that enjoy great cinema will.
Okay.
Universal Pictures has said the third movie in the Bridget Jones series, Bridget Jones's Baby, will be out next September. Of course, Bridget Jones, then they did Bridget Jones, Edge of Reason. Here's why it's great. Renee Zellweger, Colin Firth. Awesome.
It's getting back together.
Wait for it. They have added Patrick Dempsey to the cast. Kevin, hands up. Woo woo. McDreamy. No.
Wow. Oh, no, I'm in. I mean, this sounds great. I can't wait.
Did you see either Bridget Jones or Bridget Jones Edge of Reason? It's fantastic. Bean, have you?
Nope. So they were like, woo.
Right. I don't. Maybe I might have seen the first one. I mean, wasn't it 25 years ago or something? I might have seen the first one. I don't know. But this is, you're telling us now we're excited about this movie that's coming out in 11 months. Is that your big happy story?
Yeah. Oh, here's a good one, Bean.
Just anything that is uplifting.
Candy corn is the most popular Halloween candy of 2015.
Well, it should be. It's awesome.
Candy corn is disgusting, but Bean loves it, and apparently so does
millions
Oregon,
of others do.
Wyoming, Texas, Tennessee, and South Carolina. While candy corn was the favorite in most states, Reese's peanut butter cups pulled down the highest total number of votes.
Not lame.
As well it should.
Yes.
Extremely lame. What came in first for California? What candy?
Most popular, is this Halloween-related candies or just any candy?
No, this is just any candy.
Any candy.
Most popular in California.
It's weird.
It's got to be kale. Right?
Kale pops.
Skittles.
No, that would be awesome.
Raisinettes. Milk duds.
Twinkies.
Hot tamales. What are those little red?
Mike and Ike's.
Wait, Beam, did you say Twinkies?
Yes.
Is that a candy, too?
I just, look, I'm just trying to get this thing to end, that's all. Just trying to get past this segment. Oreos, I don't know. What?
The answer is Lifesavers.
Oh, Lifesavers. All right, let's move on.
All right, moving on. Today, October the 14th, or as we like to say, Rocktober. All of these people turning their respective ages today. Steve Coogan is 50. Lori Petty, 52. Natalie Maines, 41. Usher, 37. Pia Toscano, 27. And Mia Wasikowska. Wasikowska.
Who we would know from?
Crimson Peak. Okay. She is 26 years old today. Oh, save me, Jeff Garland. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Stanley's Kamikaze Expo.
My takeaway from Jeff Garland's remarks when he walked in was, I'm glad to be here doing the show, but it's only because other shows don't ask me to do their show. That's what I heard. That's what I heard, though.
That's what you kind of heard. The point being is, I don't want to say to you, oh, I only will do this show.
Well, then,
I
don't know. Hold
like,
on.
I would,
hold,
public
hold,
radio I would do.
Hold, please.
I would do NPR.
When you walked in,
that.
You said, this is the only radio show that I will do. In Los Angeles,
no,
right? In Los Angeles.
That I do. I never said the word will.
Ah, okay. So, all right.
But
then
I
you
know,
immediately started backtracking.
No. And by the way, we weren't on the air. So
no,
but it's not,
now,
back, it's not backtracking.
Okay.
I would go on NPR. I would go on here. I don't know what else
okay.
I would do.
All right. Okay.
I'm just
right,
like
well,
thinking because it's not like I'm at the point now where I really do going into let's just talk radio.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
Going into a radio station that A, you know, nobody who digs you could possibly listen to that music.
Okay.
It's just not possible.
Yeah.
And if it is possible, it's nuts. Like, for I'm not going to give an example.
We're all talking about Seacrest. Go ahead.
No, we're not.
No, no.
By the way, can I be honest?
He's yes.
Been, well, of course I'll be honest. He's always been very nice to me.
Sure.
And
well,
I've been
course.
On with him a couple of times.
He's very
much
a nice man.
He's also very professional and does a good job.
Okay.
So I guess I go on with him. He's a very – his world, it's popular.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
There's no question about that.
But also, you know, I was – I'm not going to name drop. But you would love. But here's the point. The point is,
who was it? Name drop.
It's very
I'm hanging
specific.
Out with Barack Obama.
No,
and the next thing
Ben
I know,
Folds. It was Ben Folds.
Oh, okay. Ben Folds. All right,
I was
great
having
topic.
Dinner with Ben Folds.
Yes, nice.
And he was talking about. No, it was that Largo. I was interviewing him on stage.
So was it dinner?
No. I want to be
it
specific.
Was at Largo on stage.
I want to be specific. If people
right.
use their imaginations of us having this conversation,
okay.
So anyhow, he was talking about he's only had something once that was a hit, and that was Brick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And he found that the audience has changed to people, Brick people.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily a fun time for him to be on stage with people that really weren't his hardcore fans, but they loved the song.
They just
Brick.
Wanted Brick, yeah.
And
totally
they waited
get that.
For Brick.
I can see that.
And that happens with a lot of, unless you're U2, where every song is, well, not anymore, but every song was a hit, you
right,
know,
right.
or Madonna
but when they
or
perform,
something.
It's still mostly hits.
Yes,
that everyone knows.
That everyone knows.
Right.
So unless you're that kind of superstar
mm-hmm.
and you're getting your fans,
right?
When you have one hit
uh-huh.
or two hits,
right?
You're getting people that you don't want to be around.
No, I get that.
That's
no,
the point.
I
that's
totally
the point I'm
that.
Making. You don't want to be around him, and that's what I'm saying. If I do Ryan Seacrest and one of them go, yeah, I'm going to go see Jeff. That's the way his listeners talk.
Yeah,
and then they come see me. They're not going to dig me. There's no way. It's not
yeah,
possible.
I totally get what you're saying. Sure.
You know.
Jeff Garland is here, by the way. He is, among other things, the star of The Goldbergs on ABC Wednesday nights at 8:30. Jeff, I happen to know that you saw AC/DC recently.
I did. Did
at you see the Doctor?
And I saw them at Dodger Stadium.
Are they your favorite band of all time?
No. God, no.
No. but you love them, though.
I do
love
them. I do love them. I love the simplicity of AC/DC.
Right.
It's a bunch of power chords with whatever the title of the song is repeated
just
over
and
over.
Over the top of
that's
it. Right?
And
song,
Brian
right.
Johnson's voice sounds like it did in the 80s.
Right.
And it's just, they're phenomenal. They are phenomenal. They're great to see live. I don't know what their touring plans are. And so I really, yes, I was very happy to see them.
But you are at the point, and I heard your interview with our little friend Brad Williams on the About Last Night podcast. You are at the point where you no longer are in for the whole evening when you go to a concert. It's too
well,
much.
Well, no, that wasn't what happened on that particular night.
All right, what happened?
On that particular night, I didn't – man, I don't like slamming people, but I didn't like the opening band. I felt they were quite – they were a big bowl of pandering.
Okay. That's what they're called?
No, I'm not going to say what they were called. You can look up who opened for them.
All right, I'll look it up.
But they're more of an R&B kind of band.
Right.
And they were pretending to be a rock band. And the number of times that they talked about Los Angeles, here's the lamest thing they said all night.
Okay.
The last thing they said before their last song, they said, "Hey, we're gonna go get high and drunk and watch AC/DC with you." It's like, "Oh yeah, you're really cool." Yeah, fantastic. It was just so panic. But here's the problem with them.
What's the problem?
They were incredibly loud. Like as loud as AC/DC, and
oh,
I didn't dig their music, and I forgot earplugs, and my head was throbbing. So it was a testament to how much I love AC/DC that I lasted
that
an hour
through that. So you only made it an hour through AC/DC.
AC/DC, my ears were bleeding
because the earlier band just wore me out,
ruined my ears, and so I made it an hour. And what I really want to say publicly, yes, just like I quoted the thing, I'm Baron von Declaration. I'm pretty much that was. That was my final outdoor concert, big concert.
How do you say that?
Wow.
How do you even know what
you'll be into? Have you ever been to an outdoor
concert?
Of course.
And have you taken a look around?
Yes.
And no,
I love it. Love it.
Well, as they say in Sweden, enjoy.
Led Zeppelin Gets Back Together plays at Shea.
Why would they be at Shea?
She's asking a question.
Coliseum.
The point is,
no, I would not go.
You're over it. You're over outdoors.
And by the way, I love Led Zeppelin more than AC/DC.
But you would not see them. What if they were indoors?
I'm still open to like the Forum.
What exactly is about outdoors?
Yeah,
what? It's just a big bowl of
sweat.
Nausea.
Wait.
Ow!
Hold on a second.
I don't like it.
What's happening in the air that is so offensive to you, Jeff?
Well, by the way, the pot doesn't bother me, certainly. But, you know, holy crap. It's just wrong, man. First off, there's not enough room to move.
There's more room to move.
It's outside. It's the only place with room to move.
By the way. Yes,
right.
You would think.
Right.
By the way, outdoors in a park, I might consider.
Okay.
But outdoors, a lot of rules. I'll write that down. Keep track.
But outdoors in like a contained area. Do you know,
park,
for the people to sit on the field,
uh-huh,
in order to get on the field, they had to go through all these. I was watching them.
Right.
All these different pathways to get there. So like if everyone screams and has to run, there's nowhere to go. You're just on the field, trapped.
Right.
There's single file.
But you're outside. Isn't that best case scenario?
If you can fly. Hold on. If you can fly.
If you can fly.
Because then you can just go up and you're out. But if they had to get out, let's say there was something happened on the
field.
Like
a fire or something.
Yes, the fireworks took off, whatever.
Right.
They have nowhere to go. There's like one alleyway on both sides.
Okay. There's like 40 exits, though, at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, and normally AC/DC sees to it that you're sealed in.
All right.
And by the way, I was very happy where I was sitting, which was in the seats before the field.
Right.
And because I got up and just left.
All right. Baron von Declaration is here. He is Jeff Garland.
By the way, that is something, you know, as much as you say that as a joke, I'm known for declarations amongst my friends. Yes. And they'll literally, as I'm talking.
Because they're absurd.
And yes, they can be. And I have, my friends will go, "All right, here comes a declaration." I am full of declarations.
I feel like you need a guy to follow you around, like with parchment, and who would just write things down and post them on the wall as you say them, Jeff. Like, it has been written, it has been said.
I'm going to say something right now. You ready?
All right, declaration time.
The only radio show that I will do outside of NPR, because I dig NPR,
uh-huh,
is your show. But in other words,
but
I won't do it.
You already said cigarettes.
No, you already said
that would be fine.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay. We're not trying to talk you out of it, Jeff. Whatever you want to do is fine.
None of us tried. We were like, okay, go ahead.
But I love it here.
All right.
I love you guys. I love it here.
Thank you, Jeff.
And this is where I'm staying.
Okay. All right. You're very kind.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Okay.
I don't know if you need to go to break right now.
We do, but we have time for questions.
Let me just say one question. Let's say I do or don't do Secrets.
Right.
Do you think it has any effect on my life or any show I'm on or anything? No.
Wait, were you asking a question or were you answering a question?
This whole thing started with you saying that he's fine.
But here's the thing.
But we're not arguing that even.
Okay, all right.
We're not even saying anything.
No, I didn't say he's not fine. He's a good gentleman.
Okay. Jeff Garland is here. That's my declaration. And we'll return in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If you got something to say, Jeff, go ahead and say it, man. We're all friends here.
We are friends here. No, as I said, did they say that she goes in search of her dream and disappears? Was that the ad?
Yeah. Was, yeah.
And do the other actors go, where'd she go? I'm sorry for laughing. They pay for time.
Jeff Garland is here. The show is called The Goldbergs, Wednesday nights at 8:30 at ABC. It's very, very funny. At some point, we'll talk about it. But, Jeff, I have to ask you, because, and I said this earlier today, I said I'm so happy Jeff is coming in today because as a lifelong Cubs fan, you must wake up this morning being as happy as you've been as long as you can remember, right?
It really is a nice feeling.
It's a miracle. What did they have? 10 home runs in that game, that series against the Cardinals over the four games? Ten home runs?
Yeah, they went berserk. They just kept cranking them out. And the thing is, they're hot. This is really exciting.
Do you dare dream?
No.
Have you been trained to think this is going to fall apart?
Not fall apart, but you're cautiously excited.
Right.
You can't go nuts.
Right.
You can't go nuts. The Cubs have been here in this exact same situation a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to say his name. I feel bad for him. A Cub fan stuck his hand out and a lot of chaos ensued and the Cubs didn't win. I feel this team is different. I feel like Joe Maddon, who's the manager, it's very exciting. Uh-huh. I feel good. But, like I said, cautiously. Yes, very cautious. It's a nice feeling.
Now, Allie, when you were going through exactly where Jeff's at now back in 2004, when did you finally exhale when the Red Sox, when you realized it was happening?
I am from a different generation than, say, my father, because my father, during the whole Red Sox run, would say, they're going to break your heart. Don't let them break your heart. And it wasn't until the parade. They were on the duck boats. And my father finally said, I mean, this is pretty great, but it'll never happen again.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how beat down and
Yeah, but
beat
I would never, if they
are.
Win the World Series, I think it could be the first of many with this team.
Oh, that's
really?
A good feeling.
They're if they get another.
They're very, very young.
Yes, very, exactly. They're very young. And if they get a pitcher or two. I mean, come on. This is just, it's kind of a, it's a weird feeling. I've never had this feeling as a Cub fan. I've never had this feeling. So there you go. It's very exciting.
Have you gone to any of the games?
Went to many of them this year.
No. I mean, during the series. Did you go to any of the Cardinals games?
No,
did you go to Chicago?
I'm not going to go to any playoff games. I've already told the Cubs that I want to go to the World Series if it happens.
But not playoffs, not leading up to?
Well, I'm filming the Goldbergs. Okay. I'm busy, and we've been there before. Why would I want to do this? Not a unique feeling.
He's not on his back.
I see friends of mine on TV. I've seen people, you know, but I do. I will say this. What's Eddie Vedder?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If they got to stop cutting to him during Cub games. It's enough.
Yeah. Well, he's the number one super fan.
Yeah, and which is bull crap. I'll go ahead.
You want to see Bill Murray? That's who you want to see.
That's a quick quiz question.
Yeah.
What year was Eddie Vedder born? Can anyone find that out?
He's got to be around 50, I would think. Right?
Do you think he's that old?
I think let me look it up real quick. But yeah, why do you bring that up?
I will have my point in a second.
Okay.
In a second. But the point being
is 50 years old, born in 64.
Oh, he's born in 64. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's possible. But he said he was telling the TBS announcer guy or whatever station it was that when he was a little kid he saw Roberto Clemente play. And I thought he had to have been really,
yeah,
really
he could
young.
Have only been 6-7 years old.
Yeah,
right?
He wouldn't remember that. He's so full of crap. I don't even know.
No, that's not true, Jeff. If you're a little kid who's a crazy baseball. I was 8 years old and was in love with Denny McClain and the Detroit Tigers. Yes. So I remember that at eight.
Did you grow up in Detroit?
No, I didn't. But that was the team. You know, that was the team. You know, that was America's team back then. I'm just saying. I'm not doubting Eddie's story.
But also I feel like I know every player, every year, everything. He doesn't. And then you know the.
Are you offended that they're calling him the biggest Cubs
fan? Yes, okay. I watched him.
But he wrote Jeremy, you didn't, okay? So doesn't he get a point?
Oh, he gets... Well, no, that's a crappy song.
What?
I think Pearl Jam sucks.
How about if they were playing indoors, would you go see them?
If they were playing in my living room, I'd tell my wife I'm going to a movie. I like that one song where he doesn't want to be called daughter.
Don't call me daughter. It's called daughter, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that song's okay. I consider me the ghost of Nirvana. I think they suck, whereas Nirvana is perfection. That's my opinion.
Okay. All right.
So if your listeners think like, oh, I love Nirvana.
That's perfect. Best album of my lifetime. Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Big bowl of... And I love the documentary.
Same.
Yes.
God, I love it. Great. A lot of topless Courtney Love.
A lot of that.
If you needed that. But anyhow, yeah, I love Nirvana. Here I am, by the way, going wild, saying something bad about somebody. A guy who loves the Cubs. A guy who might be a sweetheart. I know he's good friends with Kerry Wood. Yes. Former Cub. And that's how he got sort of... Look, he's...
Okay, but wait. You don't know him.
At all.
You said he's full of crap. I don't know him. You said those two sentences back to back.
Well, I don't think he's full of crap as a person. I don't know him.
I'm just saying
they're calling him the super fan. He, you know, a lot of times these people, you know, enough.
John Cusack has said that he has dual allegiance to the White Sox and the Cubs.
Do you think
that's possible?
Is that a possibility?
First off, that's not true.
Okay.
John Cusack likes the Cubs more.
He does like the Cubs
more. But he does like the Sox, as I do.
Okay.
But I'm not, I wouldn't.
I don't understand that. I thought it was one or the other.
That's the dumbest thing ever. You know what it is? A lot of Sox fans hate the Cubs. The Cub fans don't even think about the Sox fans. Because the Cubs are so much more popular in Chicago.
Are they?
Oh my God. But the most popular team in Chicago is the Bears. The Bears are more popular than the Blackhawks, the Bulls, the Cubs, and the White Sox put together. The Bears are, it's a Bears town. They own it. And they stink, too.
Yeah
I was going to say.
They're like Pearl Jam this year.
Isn't it tough? I mean, this is...
By the way, I'm basing my Eddie Vedder things on, I can tell he knows nothing. And then now you can't
Which
be
Which is
the,
absurd.
Say what you will. It's my gut instinct.
It's absurd.
And then I don't like Pearl Jam. So I'm sorry. I just don't like them.
All right.
I just think they have trouble making. They sound I was about to compare them to John Coltrane the later years, but at least he was trying to be off.
That's a good reference for our listeners, there, Jeff.
By the way, let them Google John Coltrane. By the way, if one person Googles John Coltrane today, my job is done here.
Yeah.
Boom. Hey, before we run out of time,
Can I just stay?
You can. I mean, you can.
I know. We
are very busy, Jeff. But Christian writes in. Christian writes in. He's a listener. He says, please let Jeff know that The Goldbergs is a freaking genius show, and it totally takes me back to my high school days. And I want to put out a plug for The Goldbergs, and you're too modest to pump it up yourself. It is such a funny show and so well done. And I want to. And it was really. It's been such a surprise to me how funny that show is.
By the way, surprise to me.
Really?
You're surprised.
Yeah, because you think when I was doing Curb Your Enthusiasm, I thought, I'll be on a well-written network show.
Yeah.
I had never had lunch with Larry David yesterday. I'll drop that one.
Sure.
That one's not impressive for people who
know your career and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But, you know, I was saying, when we were shooting Curb, I didn't think this would be possible to be on a hit network show that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
You and Wendy McClendon Covey are magic together.
Very funny
together. She's magic.
She's phenomenal.
She is magic.
And she plays Jeff's wife on the show.
Yeah, she's amazing. And Wendy's amazing.
You're in your underwear too much. That's all
I know. What's that? What's that about?
It's like having not gotten enough sleep last night, leaving here, going now to go shoot the Goldbergs, and knowing I have to put on tidy whiteys today.
Two pairs, I understand?
Two pairs and a cup.
Because
they see movement.
This is the ABC sensors are afraid of movement and shadows, I read.
Shadows. And I thought, you put a flashlight behind my balls to see shadows. I don't know what they're talking about. But yes, movement and shadows. So the underwear that I wear is, by the way, being in tighty whities is only really comfortable when you're eight. Like, right. Like tighty whities, I hate wearing them, but you know, and I just walk around all day like that. Yeah.
Jeff, when in the first episode that they put you in your underwear,
yes,
did you push back at all knowing, oh, man, I don't want this to be a thing. I don't want this to be the character's thing is to walk around with his pants off.
Like, in all sincerity, I frowned, and I knew it was going to be a thing.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. I knew it.
Is it because your comedy instincts took over and you thought, you know what, I'm going to hate doing this, but it's great for the show because it's going to be fun?
Well, here's the thing. It's almost like nudity in terms of this. Sometimes when I see it in the script and we're about to shoot it, I say, I don't need to be in my underwear for this. This is just pushing it.
Okay.
And then I'm not in my underwear. So there are times they want me
to be
in
my... Do you have an underwear person? Like a Wrangler that will bring you... Oh, take them back off?
Well,
because you said certain scenes,
well, yeah,
no, certain
wardrobe,
scenes, yes.
The wardrobe, they lay... Like, I walk into my trailer, and they're literally laying... There's like a desk in my trailer, and they're literally just laying there calling my name. And they... But like I said, sometimes it's just like, no, this scene, that makes no sense. They, as a matter of fact, last week we filmed our Halloween episode, and they had me in my underwear for this one scene where our front door's open,
right,
and we're looking out. I said, why would I be in my underwear standing in front of the front door? Yeah. I don't do that.
It's a little pervy on Halloween, especially when you know kids are coming down the sidewalk.
That's exactly right. Nobody argued with me. I didn't wear the underwear. By the way, pretty much all I wear is a T-shirt, a regular shirt, and a pair of khakis.
Comfortable show to work on.
For me, it is. I mean, Wendy's got the wig. She's got these heavy sweaters. It's tough on her. She has to wear some crazy crap.
The only other thing I'll say, Jeff, as we say goodbye to you, sir, is the Goldbergs airs Wednesday nights at 8:30 on ABC. The other thing that sets your surprise for me is these stories, many of them come out of the real life of the creator, right?
Oh, if they don't come out of the real life of the creator, they come out of the real life of another writer. So every one of these stories comes out of somebody's real life thing.
But it's amazing to me how much of that video you always show at the end of the show that's the real life video, right?
It's not even amazing how much we show. What's amazing is how much this kid, Adam Goldberg, who's the writer of the show, is no longer a kid, he's a man, that he took.
He videotaped his entire childhood.
I'll be filming a scene and then they'll go, oh, Adam has film of this actually happening. I'm like, you're kidding me.
Wow. So there'll be like a kid, you know, not wanting to hang up because he's talking to his girlfriend on the phone. And you'll go, oh, that's a cute scene. And then they'll cut to the real life video of that actually happening, that being filmed back in like 1984.
Wait a minute.
Kid,
let's even talk of what he was listening to. Pop star Martika. With toy soldiers. Okay. I hated that song with a passion more than even Pearl Jam. And I used to call people pop star Martika back in the day when she was popular.
Right.
And then I was really angry when I saw in the script they were using the song in the episode. I was like, come on. Because his taste is really bad.
Right.
He liked all this crap back then.
Right.
And so... when I saw that he had actual film of him singing it to his girlfriend long distance, I went, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. It's such a sweet show. It's such a funny show. And if you're not checking out the Goldbergs,
it makes people feel good.
Yeah.
To be in a show that makes people feel good, that is truly rare.
It is, yeah.
And it makes me very proud.
And
proud to be here at K-Rock.
Tonight at 8:30 ABC, it's the Goldbergs. Our friend Jeff Garlow, thanks for stopping by. Go Cubs!
Thank you. Go Cubs.
Was that a coincidence that we just played that song? You were just saying that's your favorite album of your whole lifetime.
Yep.
How about that? And that's Jeff Garland approved right there, Nirvana on K-Rock. Hey, let's talk to Mama Muggs. Hit it, Steve.
Mama Muggs, Mama Muggs, Mama Muggs. She's one badass, too. Mama Muggs, Mama Muggs, Mama Muggs. She hates the Dodger blue. It's time for Mama Muggs. Give me some Mama Muggs.
L'chaim! Well, we were just talking with Jeff Garland about the Cubs, who defeated the St. Louis Cardinals. Who will they play next? Will it be the Los Angeles Dodgers, or will it be the New York Mets for the National League crown? Mama Muggs, who are they going to be playing?
Good morning.
Morning.
Of course,
Of course, the Dodgers, but it's a hard act to follow. Your guest was fabulous. Yeah. No one's going to remember Mama Muggs.
Oh, so people have been looking forward to us talking to you all day long because they know they want to know how you're feeling about it. The series coming back home, being all tied up at two apiece. What do you think?
That's great, but here I am sitting in my nightgown. He was in his skivvies.
Right.
And,
right.
And,
but let's not focus on that.
Let's not focus on that.
Right. Okay, so
but
the Dodgers.
It's the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Who are hanging on by a fingernail, would you say?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I'd say they're in the same position the Mets are in, which is it's anyone's game to win tonight, and you have to feel great about Greinke.
Greinke is great, but what happens when they get to the next level and they get to the Cubs?
Well, let's not worry about that yet.
Slow down for just a second. Let's just talk about this series where they might win or lose in one game.
Yes, that's the problem. It's one game or go home.
Well, it's either the problem or the solution.
Yeah, we have the problem is we have no relief pitchers. If Greinke gets into trouble, that's it. We have no hitters. We have three hitters on the team. Mm. And if Greinke can't hold that lead, it's over.
The Dodgers had pretty good relief pitching last night.
Well, yes, because they didn't use Baez. Baez is the worst pitcher. He goes to the first one all the time, but he didn't pitch last night. Hatcher pitched, and that was better.
Okay.
But when they go to the bullpen, you know, I hold my breath, and as much as I hate saying it, OMG, you know, hold your breath.
Did last night's outing for Kershaw change your narrative on him? Have you come around?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, wow.
He came through, and he knew he would be out in the street if he didn't come through. I mean,
is that your way of leading him?
I think it is.
He had to, you know, he would be a nothing if he didn't come
but
through.
But Mama Muggs, a lot of people have to at certain times and don't.
Right.
Or can't. And
he came through. Look, he's off the schneid now. If like Ali said, the narrative has been that he is a disaster in the playoffs. He'd been 1-6 going into last night's game, and he looked great.
Yes, he passed the seventh inning, and that's a good sign.
Okay.
But once we pass the seventh inning with both Kershaw and Greinke, we have to turn to the bullpen.
Right.
And there is nothing there. Maybe the ninth inning, although what's-his-name gave up a hit, and then you start worrying because the tying run comes to the plate.
Yeah.
Well, pitching is everything. Muggs, do you have any good advice for your mom? Like, when you guys are watching the game together, how do you keep her from, you know, from slitting her wrists?
I put on my headphones and just ignore her because I can't. I can't.
Does she yell the whole time?
Oh, obscenities, curse words.
Everyone's in their own room when I watch the Dodgers.
Is that the way you demand it, or no one wants to be around you?
Papa Muggs is in his room.
Right.
Beer Mug is in his room.
Uh-huh.
And I'm screaming in my own room.
Yeah.
And that's the
way
it
sounds
is.
Like a wonderful family life.
It's like a family get-together.
It's really. And then there's Daisy Muggs, who is out the door.
The dog.
She does it Daisy
the dog.
Muggs,
oh,
yeah.
Pup.
Do you scare the dog out of the house?
Yes.
She cannot stand my screaming.
Yeah.
Mama Muggs, what do you think about Justin Turner, the ex-New York Met, who has had such a great series against his former club? That has to make you feel good.
Thank goodness he's not injured anymore. He, you know, he had a year that was up and down. He had his injuries towards the end of the year. He had a new injury, and we thought, oh, we would just have two hitters. Now at least we have three. He's
all right.
One of the three.
And what about his powerful beard? Do you approve of that?
No.
Really?
Are you kidding
me? Surprised.
I mean, he probably salivates all over it and gets it on the ball. And if the ball is wet, you can't hit it.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
She's not a fan of facial hair.
You know,
really?
Your facial hair is right. Disgusting in baseball.
Right. Mama Muggs, last time we talked to you, you said stick a fork in them.
In
they're
whom?
Done.
In
the Dodgers.
Dodgers, right.
Do you still
feel
that way?
I still say that. I'm still sticking
you're
it.
You're a terrible fan.
I wasn't even nervous last night because I wasn't even anxious because I thought that they, you know, it's over, it's done, wait till next year, all that stuff.
Okay.
But,
well, look.
You know who you shouldn't listen to is you.
You, I think, Mama Mugs, and I know you're not a very positive person, but I think the fact that the team is coming home and they get to win at Dodger Stadium and they're trying to win for Vin, let's not forget that narrative, mm-hmm. too. I think there's a lot to be hopeful about for tomorrow night's game.
Oh, would you permit me to say something about the next series?
Sure, quickly.
I guess,
15 seconds, go.
15 seconds, they're done. Stick a fork in it.
Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs, she hates the Dodger Blue.
And it is 8:54.
Jake the Snake Roberts, WWE Hall of Famer, joins us in studio coming up just after 9 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, talking about his amazing new documentary that is out called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. Allie's in for Ralph for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Apparently, my last Showbiz Beat was a bit of a bummer to some people. Comas and postpartum depression, not uplifting.
Well, yeah.
I get that.
Okay.
So I would like to give you a little something.
Okay.
December 8th. Circle it on your calendars now.
Okay.
Victoria's Secret's fashion show.
Yay!
Yep, indeed. And we know they've had Justin Bieber perform, Taylor Swift.
Questionable talent.
Questionable talent. All that has changed. Because on December 8th, you not only get Rihanna.
All right.
In, right?
Yep.
You get Selena Gomez.
All right.
In. But here's, to me, the best part. The Weeknd.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
All three of them will be performing the musical interludes in between the fashion show?
It's the best hour of TV all year.
Okay. Would you call it a fashion show?
Would
you call it?
It is a fashion show.
Technically, that's what it is.
Technically?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they have models who walk to music while wearing lingerie. I mean, that's a fashion show.
Okay.
I think.
Well, December the 8th, Rihanna, Selena Gomez, and The Weeknd.
I love my English girls.
Do you?
Excellent.
Input. So good to know. All right, moving on to other happy news. Even though Harry Connick Jr.'s gig on American Idol is ending, don't worry. You can still get your Harry Connick Jr. fix. How? He's going to be on Fox stations beginning next fall doing a show called, conveniently, Harry. It's going to feature comedic man-on-the-street interviews, live musical performances, and parodies.
No!
No, yes, yes. Harry Connick Jr. is actually very, very funny.
He is funny. He's got a good sense of humor.
He's an incredibly witty guy. So that'll be happening next fall.
Okay.
Any of you watch Quantico?
Yes.
Do you?
I watched the first one.
Excellent. And are you wondering if it's going to be extended for a full season?
Yes.
Well, worry and wonder no more. They were just picked up for another 6 episodes, giving it a full season.
That's pretty strong.
So I think it's very realistic.
Where are
that
the
someone,
kids on that, Bean?
I think it's very
Damn
realistic
it.
That someone who looks like Miss World is an FBI agent, by the way.
It could
happen.
Hey,
that could happen.
It you, could happen.
You don't know. You weren't there.
And not only her, everyone.
The whole cast is supermodels.
So good looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's done surprisingly well on Sunday nights for ABC, considering it's up against Sunday Night Football. So well done to that cast. Very sad news if you were fans of CW's Beauty and the Beast. The network has announced the show will finish after this 4th season.
All right.
Did you know that was a thing?
No. I mean, I knew it was on, but
well,
I love the CW.
Yeah, you do.
I didn't really watch that show, though.
You didn't. All right. If you're,
wop, wop, wop.
Thank you, Bean. If you are a fan of The Walking Dead, just know you are so far from being alone because the 6th season debuted Sunday night to 14.6 million viewers.
The zombies.
Exactly, Rodney. That 14.6 million is before they got in the DVR numbers. So far, the highest rated show of 2015 TV season. That's absurd.
I'm still, every time those ratings come out, I'm still super surprised that a show that has that much graphic, just gross, I'm so surprised that many people watch it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite show, but it's just not the type of show that you see get those numbers ever.
And 9.4 million of them were in the coveted 18 to 49 age bracket.
Now, Kevin, I was thinking about you when I was watching Sunday night. How did you handle part of the episode being in black and white? Because you hate black and white. Because it looks old.
I love The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're willing to give him a pass?
Yep. Mm-hmm. With anything. Pretty much do anything. I'm there.
Anything.
I'm in.
All right.
Yep.
A cautionary tale. Don't take selfies in bathroom mirrors ever. I think we know that, right? Because something could be happening in the background. Plus, they look super douchey.
Right.
Well, Jenny Mullen, she is married to Jason Biggs.
Okay.
She took a picture in the bathroom with Jason using the restroom behind her. He had a magazine in front of him.
Uh-huh.
And she tweeted, "Does my sweater look cute?" Kind of joking, Rob, but you could see Jason in the background.
Right.
She didn't check before she posted it because Jason's boys were dangling just below
Is
the
that
magazine.
Right?
Yeah. So
right?
you got a sneak peek before she deleted that picture. But Jason Biggs, I think emphasis on the Biggs. So good times with that right there. All of these stars were all born on today, the 14th of Rocktober. Singer Pia Toscano is 27. Saturday Night Live's Jay Faro is 28. Singer Usher, 37. Natalie Maines is 41. Steve Coogan is 50. And Lori Petty is 52. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
All right, look lively, everyone. Royalty in the house here at K-Rock. WWE Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts has stepped into the Kevin and Bean studios. The film is called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, and it looks amazing. Here's a piece of the trailer.
Jake the Snake!
Jake, to me, is one of the greatest talents I've ever seen.
One of the great minds in the history of the business.
You are a piece of snake. You gypsy people. You.
In the last 3 or 4 years, I didn't think I was going to have a dad around.
A month ago, you did crack, man.
How often do you feel like you fight it, fight the addiction?
24/7. I know this is my last.
I know it sounds sad, guys, but there's a happy ending. It's called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, so he is here, and he is well. Hey, Jake, how are you, man? Thanks so much for joining us. You hear us okay?
Can you hear us?
I don't think he's got his headphones up.
No, I can't.
No, he can't, yeah.
There we go.
Usually we listen to Bean with it turned down, so that's what happened.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Miserable. How about you?
Okay. All right.
I'm not at home. You are.
Yeah. Right?
What kind of BS is that, man?
Yeah, Jake walked in and said, Bean's working from home.
Really?
Might have known that was an option.
Yeah, I didn't know you were scared.
I know you have some continuing health problems, including a hip deal that you're dealing with right now.
Hip replacement, yeah.
Oh, man.
My second one. Yeah.
So sorry to hear that. Well, it's great to have you here, and we loved the movie, and you are going to be appearing along with Diamond Dallas Page at a screening of the film tonight at the Arclight in Culver City. This is a celebrity event and screening. Tickets are on sale now, but they are going very, very fast. So if you want to see the movie with the guys who are in it, and there's autographs and photo ops after the Q&A, you buy those for tonight.
With Steve Austin, too.
Oh nice.
A name dropper.
Well done.
Well, Jake, we got a lot of ground we want to cover. I want to start before the movie. How did you and snakes become a thing? Where did your fascination with reptiles come from?
I hate snakes, okay?
All right.
That seems unlikely.
No, I do. I can't stand the damn things.
Okay.
I was always terrified of them.
Uh-huh.
But maybe that's where dope started. Because I was driving down the road one night listening to some Monday Night Football back in the day, and they were talking about Kenny Stabler, God rest his soul, the snake, Kenny the Snake Stabler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, man, you know, if a wrestler had a snake, you know, in a bag, man. But sorry about that. Okay, that's one down, two to go. I just kind of kept rolling with that thought, and then I opened my stupid mouth and told somebody.
So your fear of the snake is what made you think everybody else would be afraid
of it? No, that's not it.
No.
I was just really high.
Okay, all right.
And I thought it was a great idea, and I opened my mouth and told somebody. Mm. They thought it was a great idea. The next thing they say is, Jake, we want you to carry a snake in the ring. I'm like, wait a minute. I know that was my idea, but it wasn't a good idea.
And couldn't you have said, all right, maybe a little garden snake?
No.
Bigger, go home.
The money's there. You're going to do what you have to do.
So what kind of snakes did you bring out into the ring?
I used a lot of pythons in the beginning, but then I got really fed up with them. They were boring. And
in other words, they didn't do much when you.
No, they hurt.
Them.
They hurt. They really hurt.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they bite the hell out of you, man, and their fangs are curled. So if you, yeah. you know, they tell you if it bites you, don't move. Excuse me. I got a Doberman that just bit me on the butt, and I'm yeah. not going to move, right?
Yeah.
So you jerk away, and when you do it, it rips the flesh.
Oh.
So that's
so
not
you
cool.
got bit a lot.
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, several other guys got bit, too, which is a lot of fun. That's really cool.
The clip that you show in the movie, is that with Macho Man? With
yeah,
the snake?
Yeah. That wasn't a python. That was a cobra.
Yeah.
yeah.
And... I mean,
he just lit up.
This is right then.
Lamar Odom should have used a cobra, oh. you know, and he wouldn't watch that clip. I'm sorry, Lamar. I didn't mean that. God yeah. bless you. I hope you turn out all right, man. That's so horrible.
No, it is.
It is.
That was Jake. That was Jake. That wasn't me.
Okay. So, all right. So, for instance, in the Macho Man clip, yeah. so it was okay. I mean, that was okay with the WWE at the time, F,
yeah.
for you to walk out there with yeah. a cobra yeah. and throw it on your opponent, yeah. have yeah. it bite him, and just have yeah. it latch on and not let go. And that was just okay.
That was a problem. He wouldn't let go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't know that. You don't know the story before the story. See.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it to you guys.
All right. All right.
I'll even use Macho Man's voice.
Okay.
Macho Man walks into the locker room. He's like, "Okay, brother. Tonight, man, they want to hook the snake up to the Macho Man." I don't know why he always talked to himself third person. But anyway. you know, there's a lot of things going around the WWF, man. People would like to have the Macho Man spot. So, you sure that snake's cool? Yeah, man, it's a cobra. Yeah, it's been fixed. Hell, maybe it is and maybe it is. Yeah, like, so he's like, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let it bite you first.
Oh. Oh.
In the locker room. But right now, so you don't have time to do anything to it.
Okay.
So I had to pull up my pants leg and let the damn thing bite me. You know, oh,
this is before you ever
before,
went out.
Before you went out. Went. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. And he's like, no, I'll tell you what we're going to do now. He says, brother, I want this thing to really work. So once he's hooked up to me, afterwards, come back. I may want you to hook him up again because I want this thing to really work. I'm like,
wow.
No
wow.
problem.
Wow.
So I went out there and I'm thinking about the back now, you know. And I turned my back to him when I got the snake out of the bag, and I slapped the yeehaw out of it. So that snake opened his mouth, ticked. And he wants to kill.
Yeah.
And he latches on and would not let go. So it won't let go. I pull on it. Finally, they send Miss Elizabeth out. They send Piper out. God bless him. Miss Elizabeth, too. Get the snake out. I'm trying. They're like, now.
So they're mad at you, like
oh,
you
yeah.
can control that
yeah.
snake.
Yeah, like, okay, turn the button off, right? So I finally pry his mouth open.
Uh-huh.
But now I remember what he said to me.
Do it again.
Right. So I do you want me to get that? Wait for me. It was pretty cool.
That is a tough way to make a living, Jake.
He God, ended that dude. Story with, it was
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it. I
what
watch
year,
that clip quite a bit.
I bet you do. What year did you retire from professional wrestling?
I haven't retired yet.
Well, what year did you stop appearing regularly?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember.
Okay. So, but you did it for 30 years or something, right?
35, 40.
35 yeah. years.
Actually, 40. Yeah.
And in the early days, it didn't pay no. well, did it?
No. Gosh, if you made $500, you were lucky.
Really?
What is it about wrestling that made you fall in love with it, Jake? Why did you love it so much that you would do it for 40
it's
years
insane.
Of your life?
It's insane. The high you get from performing live.
In front
so
of crowds
infectious.
Up to 90,000 at a
yeah,
time.
But it doesn't matter if it's 90,000 or if it's 10.
Really?
You know, you get that rush because you're controlling people's emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to say it's masturbating people's emotions.
Right.
That's what you're doing. You're taking them up, you're taking them down, and you do it at your own discretion. Mm-hmm. To have that power over people, to go to the ring and the people are all cheering you, and then 10, 15 minutes later, you're walking out of the building and they're trying to cut you with a knife or run over you in a car.
Okay, see, to me, that's a bad experience.
No, it's not. It's a high that's unbelievable. I mean, I was walking to the ring one night in Dallas, Texas. Got in the ring, and I'm in a ring wrestling Sting. And all of a sudden, I hear bam, bam. I'm like, that's not good. So I dive out of the ring. I go underneath the ring. Sting's in the ring going, woo! You know, those baby faces are so stupid. So the cops grabbed the guy. The guy stood up ninth row, pulled out a pistol, and was popping
Wow.
Oh, absolutely. God. They're like, oh, do you want us to arrest him? I'm like, oh, no, just reload that son of a bitch. Get back out there, you know? Yeah. And then a few years later, I had a 70-year-old grandmother cut me with a box cutter.
By the way, this is part of Jake's answer to why he loved wrestling. Yeah. Right? The stories that he's telling right now.
But if you can, if you can make people take that extra step, go someplace they've never, ever been before. I mean, this old woman, she'd never even seen wrestling before. Live.
Why would she cut you?
Because she was at home with her grandkids and they were watching me on television. She's like, somebody needs to straighten that young man out. And they're like, oh, grandma, hush up. You know? And she's like, well, if I was there, I'd show him a thing or two. Oh, grandma, go back to your room, you know. And it hurt her.
Wow.
So
wow.
She went down there to make a statement to show her grandkids, hey, I'm not afraid of anything.
Wow. If I'm her grandchild.
But they got her. I mean, I was walking down there. I didn't even feel the cut. It got me on the back of the tricep. And
that is something else.
I kept walking, and all of a sudden, my security's gone. I'm like, what the hell? So I turn around and look, and they're holding this old woman. And I'm like, man, what's her? She's having a heart attack. And I'm like, no, man, she just cut you. I put the boots to that winch.
What is happening right
now? Yeah, man, what the hell's that?
There's a lot of very colorful terms being used here. I may need to go to a glossary afterwards. All right, let's take
I love wrestling.
Let's take a very quick break. Jake the Snake Roberts, WWE Hall of Famer in studio with us. Again, the film is called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, and it is out now. It's in Culver City at the ArcLight tonight. Go to ArcLightCinemas.com if you want to be part of the very special screening. And I believe we're going to talk more about the documentary. And I believe your friend Dallas Page is going to be joining us on the phone as well. So we'll talk to DDP with Jake the Snake right after this on K-Rock. Wrestling legend Jake the Snake Roberts in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. JakeTheSnakeMovie.com if you want information on the documentary that is out now called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts. So the movie opens, Jake, and you are not in a great place.
I'm in a horrible place, probably pretty near death.
You're just north of 300 pounds.
Yeah, doing cocaine daily and alcohol daily and didn't really give a damn about anything, man. I was hoping to die.
That's wow. It's so tragic and so sad. Is it fair to say that your friend Diamond Dallas Page saved your life?
Not only my life, but Scott Hall's life also.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We went down and got Scott, and he was in real bad shape, too. He was in a wheelchair.
Were you receptive when he reached out to you to getting help?
I just, you know, he approached me with it, and for a brief moment, I must have had some type of clarity, because I just said, to hell with it, I'll try.
All right.
Because and then later on, I was like, man, if you don't make it this time, you're dead. You're dead.
Yeah.
And because I'd given up fighting. You know, I'd been to several rehabs. They didn't work. Come right out, and you go right back to using. It's so frustrating and so full. Like, here's some breaking news for you. Addicts aren't having a good time. We're hating life. Yeah. We're hating ourselves.
Yep.
And we're hating everything about it.
You know,
let's
bring Dallas into the conversation. I'd love to hear it from his point of view. What is it you saw in Jake, Dallas, that made you think, I can save this one?
Well, you know, it wasn't even really a thought in my head at the moment. The biggest thing was Jake was my mentor. I always say without Dusty Rhodes, there's no Diamond Dallas Page. But without Jake the Snake Roberts, I never hit the main event. I never am a three-time world champion. He took me under his wing. You know, I was 35 years old when I started wrestling, you know, so he's the only guy who believed in me enough to teach me. And for years, this would go on for years, he would mentor me. I would, even when he was out of the business, just doing independent stuff, I would come by his house and show him my tapes and he'd critique them for me. Hmm. So the reason I got to the level I got because he helped me. And I always wanted to pay him back, but it just never, you know, didn't ever seem like the right time because he wasn't ready yet. And I just think that this, you know, I'm sure you saw the disabled veteran that I helped walk again. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yes. So
that video, I inspired one guy. He not only loses 140 pounds in 10 months, he loses the knee braces, the back brace, and the wraparound canes he walked on for 15 years to run. And, you know, not just walk, but run. So I can show that to Jake. I could show that to Scott. I could show that to Chris Jericho. I could show that to guys like, look at what this guy did. You know, what could you do? So the only really goal for me at this point when talking to Jake was to try to get him going and started, and then was to help him walk away from the business with his head held high because Jake, out of the top 10 guys of all time, they're probably all interchangeable to top five guys of all time. And when I come to name my top five guys in our business, same thing with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Jake Roberts is on that list. So he was his whole thing, he was ostracized by the WWE. They wanted nothing to do with the drug addict junkie. And, you know, so it was the right timing. It was, I got to believe it's a lot of part of it was God's work, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about this film, and that's why it's we can recommend it and say it is called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, because it is the journey that you two to get Jake his life back and to, I mean, the triumphant conclusion of him being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame with an organization that basically had forgotten about you, had written you off, didn't want to have anything to do with you, Jake.
Can't blame him.
Had to be one of the happiest nights of your whole life.
It was incredible, man. You know, I had some of my children there, and then I had my hero there, my heroes. I got some twins that came into the world at 1.8 and 1.11.
Wow.
And they've got so many issues to fight through, and they're still fighting. They won't give up. And each day they beat another record, you know, and they inspire me. And Arthur inspired me to get me going. When I seen that, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, and it just pissed me off enough to try. And then I lost like 15, 20 pounds. And that was such an eye-opening and such a spark for me.
Just making that progress?
I couldn't believe it. I actually did something positive without even trying.
Yeah.
I just got off the gluten and the dairy.
And then you get to 2 months sober, and that just seems like a day you never thought you'd see.
Well,
of course, there were setbacks along the way.
There were four or five falls, and, you know, I'll take those gladly now, man, because I'm clean now 2 years.
2 years.
I feel freaking awesome. I traveled to L.A. on my own. I went through Detroit, my favorite strip club city, and I didn't even go.
Apologies to them.
Yeah.
Hey, they still got to make a living.
They're broke.
There are a lot of sad strippers in Detroit, thanks to you, Jake.
It was Sunday. They were closed. That's the only reason I didn't go.
Dallas, let me ask you, how did you develop this yoga plan that is helping so many people? Where did that come from in your life?
Well, again, I just started wrestling when I was 35. My career took off when I was 40, and that was in 96, and I was on top of the world, man, 97 and 98. I mean, I was in 13 out of 24 main events or semi-main events for pay-per-view. So I was living that life in 270-plus days a year in the ring, bouncing around. And at some point, you know, it was a straw. It wasn't one bump. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. And next thing you know, I got three of the top specialists in the world telling me, no, dude, you're done. And I just signed a multi-million-dollar three-year deal. And you also got to understand, I am that guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga the first 42 years. But, you know, I'm that guy, you know. But at that point, I'm also open-minded when you're telling me my multi-million-dollar contract. I never got paid up till that point. It was going away. I'll try anything. And it was very lucky that I did. And within 3 weeks of just doing some power yoga and trying to figure out the modifications, I started to feel a difference. And, you know, I'm still doing rehab. I've rehabbed both shoulder surgeries, both knees. So I know a lot about rehab and breaking up scar tissue. So at one night before I go to bed, I just started doing those yoga positions and mixed them with the rehabilitation. And then that really flowed great. And then I added an old school calisthenics and something like Jake said, he ended up losing like 65 pounds total or 70 pounds total during the journey, you know, during that journey. But the reason why you can do that, that makes DDP yoga different than any other kind of yoga, is dynamic resistance. And what I do is I get you engaging and flexing muscles like you're lifting weights, but with no weight there. And what happens is every time you flex or engage a muscle, your heart has to beat faster to get the blood to the muscle. So completely by accident, bro, and I mean completely by accident, I develop a workout today known as DDP yoga that's kick-ass cardio that will dramatically increase your flexibility and strengthen your core like never before with minimal joint impact. That's why Jake could do it. That's why the disabled veteran could do it. That's why Scott Hall, when you're so beat up, you just need to get some movement going in the beginning. And once you understand the dynamic resistance, well, now you're not just stretching muscles. You're stretching and strengthening muscles, ligaments, and tendons. And that's why there's a turnaround.
Well, I would feel like I were listening to an infomercial right now if I hadn't seen this work with my own eyes in the movie. I mean, it is really incredible, the stuff you do. And the other thing that's amazing about you, Dallas, is you have the personality to be able to be firm but also encouraging. And that's got to be a fine line to walk, because there must be times where you feel like you want to give up on people, but you never, ever do, and you always seem to know the right thing to say, and I was so impressed by that with you.
Well, from my side, he is so positive, it makes you sick. Okay? Okay. It's like, yeah. Dallas, does anybody ever take a crap in your milk? You know, come on. You know? But he's positive, and he does it with love, man. And
yeah, Dallas, you don't give up on anybody, right?
No, he won't, man.
Is that what made the difference for you, Jake?
Yeah,
is it just that he, not giving up?
The way that he handled me, man. He had kid gloves on when he needed to, but when he didn't need to, he was right there in my face. And yeah. You see it in the movie, you know. And well, not only him, but Steve, you had to get in my face a couple of times, which kind of surprised me because he's just a little short Chinese guy. You know,
it is
outside, he's going to kick my butt when I walk out. But
it's an inspirational movie, particularly for anyone who has ever dealt with addiction or
absolutely.
Had friends or family in addiction. I mean, it really is something that is absolutely worth seeing. It's a fascinating story. It has very little to do with wrestling. It really has to do with us as humans.
Well, it's a fight. It's a fight. You know, for me, I just hope the people, when they come to see it, they understand addiction a little bit better. And the second thing I hope they get is Dallas's end of it. You know, we all know somebody, whether it be family members or a friend, that we've written off, mm-hmm. that we've given up on, that we avoid, that we hang up the phone because we know they're trouble. They're going to rob me, whatever. We know what they are. But do you really want to watch them die?
Right.
You know, we need to remember that part.
ArcLight, Culver City, ArcLightCinemas.com. Dallas, I know that you're trying to fly out here to be at the thing tonight. How's that looking right now?
Not good. It's
not good.
Have you ever had a kidney stone?
No, but we've heard from friends that it's the most painful thing a man will ever go through.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my mother-in-law was there with me in the hospital, and she's had five kids. And I was like, so everybody says about, you know, it's like childbirth. And I said, and she had just had one like 2 weeks ago. And I said to her, I said, Kay, what's more painful? And she looked at me, and she didn't miss a beat. She said, kidney stone, hands down.
Wow. Why don't you have a baby and say that, Dallas?
I'm not saying it. She said it.
I know.
Well, listen, I hope you get past that, man. I hope you recover real soon.
I hope that passes. See how I did that?
Dallas, thanks for jumping on the phone, man. Your movie was great, and thanks for the good work. What's the website real quick if people want more information about your yoga?
You know, DDP Yoga, I don't ever call it yoga, DDPYoga.com. But the main thing I want people to hear is a lot of people are going to be listening to this, and those shows are mostly all sold out. There's one more show they added for the movie tonight, and so a lot of people aren't going to see it, but now really want to. Go to JakeTheSnakeMovie.com, and if you sign up there, we got a registration there. If you do, you'll know when the movie might be coming back again, coming to VOD, coming to DVD, and we're looking at doing the whole VOD thing at around Christmas time. So I would love to come back on with you guys and talk about this again right before we do that.
We would love to do that as well, because we watched it, and it is great and
really
inspirational.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Dallas.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, man. It's awesome just being here. And again, man, if you're one of those guys out there like I was, it don't have to go down like this, man. Reach out for some help. If you want to come to the movie and talk to me tonight, I'll be glad to spend some time with you and try to get you pointed in the right direction, man.
That's a great message, sir. Take care of yourself. We'll do it again soon.
Indeed.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
Allie's got a new boyfriend.
He's my favorite.
He's adorable, right?
He was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, there's something about old people who just say whatever the F comes in their mind, too. I like that. Yeah. You know, like anything goes with Jake the Snake. That was a lot of fun.
I wish we could share a lot of those off-air stories.
Yeah,
we cannot. Yeah, I need to pay rent.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here for a Wednesday morning in for Ralph Garman. Here's Ellie.
A lot of people saying, how do I get more Donald Trump in my life? I don't see him on TV enough. Not enough people are talking about him.
Who's saying that?
No one. No one. However, NBC wants just a smidge more. That is why he will be hosting Saturday Night Live on November
the 7th.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
He will tell you that all day long. And I didn't remember this, but a lot of people did. Not his first shot taking the reins as the host of SNL. In April 2004, during the first season of the then NBC reality show, The Apprentice, he was the host. Who knew?
Who knew?
I watched it.
Bean knew. How was he? Do you remember having
I don't remember
either
much.
Way?
Look, how is he always? How was he on The Apprentice? He's a jackass blowhard. That's how he was.
Yeah, but is he going to stick to a script? What's he going to do?
I think Saturday Night Live will find something funny to do with him. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay. Well, we talked about this earlier, and I might have gone a little too far, and I said we need to burn Staples Center to the ground.
Yeah, that seemed extreme.
Now I just say we need to sage the heck out of Staples Center and take the Taylor Swift banner down. Why, you may ask?
Why?
Because the curse of Taylor Swift is real. We heard about it first with all the baseball stadiums that she played during her 1989 World Tour. After she played there, those teams went to pot. The Astros, the Nationals, the Padres, the Blue Jays all had losing records after that.
It's like, bad karma.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, guess what? The Kings are 0-3.
Yeah.
So we've got the Sharks. We've got the Coyotes. We've got the Canucks. All because she played how many sold-out shows there, Bean?
I think she did 4 this time around, and then they put a banner up at Staples Center because she sold out more than any other entertainer, and I think a lot of people are trying now to get the banner taken down because they feel like that's cursing the Kings.
Well, we've got until Friday when they take on the Wild to get that banner down, to sage the place. We need to get the Taylor Swift stank out of Staples Center. Who's with
what even? God!
I'm with you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Very good. Something that might get Bean out of the house.
Probably not.
But might. Miley Cyrus going on tour with the Dead Pets, which are basically...
Bring it.
Yeah, basically it's Wayne Coyne and the Flaming Lips as her band type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that enough to get Bean out of the house, do you think? Possibly.
I don't know.
Do love me some Miley, you know that.
Yeah. However...
Much.
One of the shows where the band will be playing between Chicago and Boston, that whole tour, one of those shows will be done completely nude. That's both the band and the audience. How is...
Logistically, how does that work?
I don't know.
If somebody has bought a ticket to that show, does the promoter call him and go, hey, listen, you know you got that ticket on the 19th? I need you to come naked.
Right.
He need to show up with no clothes because we're shooting a video that night.
I feel like maybe they're just going to stalk the pond with friends and family, whoever that
like
wants,
it'll be a private
yeah,
show.
Whoever wants to do it.
Right.
I can't imagine it'll be general public, and I can't imagine it'll be a big place either.
Would you go?
No. No, the music is just hell. That is just, it just is painful.
Would you
For
the nakedness?
No.
No? Bean?
Because she looks like Justin Bieber.
Okay.
To me. If she looked like a woman, maybe I would be interested.
I don't know why Kevin always says that. I think she's got a
terrific
body. She
looks like a child.
Body. She doesn't.
She looks like a child.
Show me a child that
she's
has
13
that,
years
that
old.
Body, by
That's
the way.
Body.
Maybe don't say that sentence again.
Okay.
Ever. Maybe.
All I need is a child that looks like an adult. What's wrong with that? Look, Allie, you're a girl-ish. You're female adjacent. Back me up on this. Most girls look at Miley Cyrus' body and go, she's got a good body.
She's got a great body. It's wonderful.
No, I'm serious. You're mocking me, but I'm serious.
No,
she has a good body, right?
Absolutely.
She's thin and she's fit and she looks like she's healthy.
Keep digging. What's not to like about it?
Look.
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Okay.
A lot of people say they really, truly don't care what people think, but I actually really kind of don't.
Hey.
Right?
Right? Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
See, I don't really ever think about anything of what I'm doing except the way that I feel about it. People are like, was that, you know, a conscious decision to do that? I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I was just doing what I was doing on a stage, which that's what being, like, an artist is you just do what you're doing.
Okay.
And then I think to myself, if I wasn't who I was before, if I was just, like, coming out as a new artist, I would be able to do what I want because that's you as the artist that you're being.
Wait, what?
So then I just feel like I'm like a new, like I hate when people say I'm a new artist because it's like obviously not because I've got all my fans that have been following me forever, but I don't really feel like I have to like represent the same thing that I represented. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like
no, weird. No, you don't.
That's gonna
my head right. Hurts.
Even Rodney's confused by that, you guys. Even Rodney. Oof.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I know that Bean is the healthiest man alive.
Yes, I am.
Would you ever consider doing an Iron Man?
No!
Oh, Bean's done that like 100 times.
Right?
No, I wouldn't consider doing that.
He's finished with that
life. I wouldn't do a marathon. I wouldn't do a Tour de France. I wouldn't do any of those extreme athlete things that people do. No, why would you even suggest it?
I'm sorry. Gross.
Take it easy.
Gordon Ramsay, you know him. He tends to be the very vocal chef yelling at people.
He sure yells at people.
I wasn't aware he is also a world-class athlete. Well, he was just competing in Hawaii in the Ironman World Championship, but he had to drop out after a 2.4-mile swim. Unfortunately, he suffered from a serious case of dehydration, started throwing up during the 122-mile bike ride. But he vows to return next year, and he polished off the race in 14 hours back in 2013. So he's an Ironman. He's an Ironman!
Okay.
Just saying. I mean, I didn't know that either. About him. Not bad.
Look, right. There's no reason to run, swim, or bike if you have a driver's license.
That's a good point.
You might be missing the point there, Bean.
It's actually a really good point. Yeah. Bean, do you want to hear the Twitter story? You want to wrap this up?
What's the Twitter story?
Well, pink slip time for 8% of Twitter's workforce. Social media company says the 336 jobs were part of an overall plan to organize around the company's top product priorities and drive efficiencies. What does that even mean? Miley couldn't even explain it.
That may be part of their problem.
Yeah.
No one can even speak in English over there.
But here's the thing, how some people found out. One guy went to tweet he got this up on his Twitter page. No access. There was a problem accessing your account, bart@twitter.com. Please log into your account again.
That's how he found out he was fired?
That's how he found out he was fired. So he posted that, and all of a sudden, not long after posting it, whether it was on Facebook or Instagram, he received a missed call from the HR department to be like, hey, Bart, BT-dubs, you're done. Wow. Can you imagine?
No,
that's a tough way to get fired.
Yeah, but Twitter stock is now down 45.3% compared to where it was a year ago.
All right. Bean's on a rocket
ship. Bean, how much did you pay?
It was $45.10 when I bought. Okay. Last time I looked, it was around $29.
Yeah.
That's good, what you want? Right?
It wasn't the goal.
That's going the right way.
Yeah.
But look, think about it. You use Twitter, Allie.
I do.
How do you think they make money? There's no ads. How do they make money? They're giving it away. So that's the problem.
Are they going to charge me for Twitter, Bean?
I don't know what they're going to do, but obviously this is not sustainable the way it is.
If they did, you would go broke, as you're on Twitter all the time.
All of these stars were born on today, the 14th of Rocktober. Tank Girl. Also, Orange is the New Black. Lori Petty is 52. Steve Coogan is 50. Singer Natalie Maines is 41. Jay Farrow. SNL Zone is 28. Pia Toscano, 27. And an actress named Mia from Crimson Peak. We love her last name, Wasikowska. She is 26 years old today. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman. Walking the show is Beat.
Thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand new internet roundup. We're going to talk to Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays. We have comedian Adam Ray in the studio, and we also have the Sweet Life with Muse tickets tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean.